All right, let's welcome Brian Finken to the podcast. Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about a game you just played recently?
I decided to whip out Scavrous. I haven't used him in quite some time. I wanted to try some things out, but last Wednesday, got him out, had a list together. Wasn't really feeling the list, but I'm like, we'll see how it goes. Get to the shop. The only person that was there to play was Keith. And I said, hey, Keith, what list are you bringing? Epic Morvana.
What were you thinking?
Yeah!
All right, now I'll say it for real this time. Fox told me that someone said to emphasize the F really hard.
He did.
So. Just because it
right.
kind of
yeah,
sounds
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's good.
No, what? All good. No, I'm not going to go...
Just say it again real quick then.
I thought you were going to say hell.
Yeah, I'm doing it, Fox. Jesus.
No, you're not, Nick.
You got a lot of editing to do, buddy.
I always do.
He loves it.
I want to murder myself.
I love editing.
At least you pay yourself to do this, right?
It's nothing.
No, I'll get you one of those.
He pays himself with laughs.
I'll give you one of those sweet Miami hats.
What he does is he gets done editing and he goes out to the shop and he's like, God damn it, I need to buy a War Machine model here. This is for editing, Lance.
Yeah.
And it's a little conversation with himself.
It's a little private present for myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. What the hell were you thinking?
Oh, I have to do it again. Yeah!
Yeah. Sure, why not?
My ears.
Hello and welcome to Muse on Miami. Or Muse on Miami. Muse on Minis Miami number 16.
Let's just talk about how terrible of a team they are.
Bienvenido a Miami! Yay!
And their basketball team sucks.
Yay, the Miami Heat lost! LeBron James suffers from Peyton Manning syndrome.
Update, no one cares.
I care.
About sports.
Sports.
Oh, man. How about that World Cup? A lot of Americans
Real
seem
quick
to really care about soccer for a week and a half.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
They pretend to care about soccer.
I had my 9-year-old son watching that game with me because he's just got into soccer. So I thought, let's sit down and see if he sparks interest. Okay. And 20 minutes into it, he's like, Dad, it's really annoying because they keep throwing it inbounds and then kicking it out of bounds right away. And I'm like, yeah, it is kind of annoying. This sport's a little hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's, oh, God, so bad. Well, I'm Colin, and I play Scorn.
Fox Crix.
I am Brian, and I play Crix.
This is Lance, I play Gator.
And this is Crump, and I play Swickle.
Swickly. All right, so this week we have Mr. Brian Finken, one of our local press gangers.
Doesn't say Mr. on the sheet.
Mr. Brian Finken.
That's Dr. Finken to you.
And you're fantastic, Mr.
What?
Fox.
Oh, yes, I am.
And Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. No.
only on the weekends.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
So, Finken, you are a professional painter.
That's right.
And you have your own studio, right?
Yes. I decided to finally start a little studio in my basement.
What is the name of the studio?
The studio is called Snow Fight Studios. All pushed together, all one word. you can find me on Facebook right now. So just Google Snow Fight Studios or Google that in Facebook.
We should post the link on the show thingy.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Show notes.
That'd be great.
Excellent.
If you're friends with me on Facebook, I have it on my list, so you should be able to find it in there.
If you're friends with me, I'm going to unfriend you.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about it.
Cool. Well, I know you've been waiting to do this for a long time, so I'm glad you finally pulled the trigger and went for it. What?
What is it? Will you do mods for peepholes?
I saw that. I was like, why does it say that? Right. Like, did he do that on purpose?
Half of the fun of the script is going over Colin's
typos and misspellings. Okay, so
how can people...
How can people see what you've painted? Well, they can go... I have some of my stuff out on the Privateer Press forums. But I also have the Facebook site, so we got that covered. Now,
also, don't read off the script.
Will. No, I'm going to read.
Don't read the questions.
I got to get to the peephole. That's all I wanted to do.
It's a pole of peas.
Will you do mods for peepholes?
No.
P-E-A-P-O-L-E, oh ladies all right. and gentlemen.
Okay.
So, let's talk about it serious.
For serious,
yeah, yeah.
y'all.
Yeah.
Yo.
So will you do mods?
Yeah, I will totally do mods.
Because, like...
Everybody's seen your pumpkin Crix, I assume. People that have been to War Machine Weekend have seen your Crix with all of the pumpkin theme. Your Kraken is on that. is on the Facebook page.
Just post that up. Yep.
Yep. It's the great pumpkin patch basically coming out of there. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
And he only does pumpkin mods, right?
I got pumpkin
sticks. If you don't like pumpkin
action, we could put a pumpkin on it.
Butch has got a pumpkin.
Why is it not called Pumpkin Fight Studios?
I thought about it, but
you went with snow.
I went with snow. Well, my Kador used to be all snow themed. Okay. All my battle boxes are snow themed.
Real original. Snow themed Kador.
I hear you.
Classic.
It's the Isla boy in me, man.
Winter, favorite season.
Winter's never coming.
We skipped winter a few years back. That was kind
of
crazy.
We did.
All right. So wait. You're actually going to do mods for like people in faraway lands?
I will If anybody wants to get a hold of me, they could just email me at snowfightstudios@gmail.com. Or get a hold of me on Facebook as well. But no, I'll paint, I'll mod. I've got a couple people I can talk to about the mods too, because we got Aduro T in our community, and then also Matthew Catrone, which those guys are
both
crazy
are
good mods.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah,
they'll either give you ideas or they'll do it for you for
exactly
being you're taken care of.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Get some top notch modding done.
Yep. Nice. Yeah. One of the most recent things we did was Matthew and I worked on Maxon's Galleon, which I am pretty happy about.
Did that get posted online somewhere?
I took a quick picture at the shop, but I want to get it. I have to do a touch up on it anyway. Something chipped. So yeah.
For people that went to Lock and Load, you probably saw Maxon's Galleon. It was kind of crashing through a burning building and had like the ambient light coming out the bottom of it.
Yeah,
battle damage. It was fantastic.
Stuff.
Yeah. So if you saw that at Lock and Load, that's Brian's work. So Snowfight Studios, that would you expect for a product coming out of there?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. So email is how you primarily want people to reach out to you for stuff?
Yeah, for right now, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You have a site coming, right?
Yes. Yep.
So it's currently under construction.
That's right.
Definitely go visit his Facebook if you need any, or if you just want to check out his work. Because his work is pretty amazing.
Yep. And like
Facebook. Thank you very much.
If you want to waste some time at work looking at pictures of war machines.
Also, we might be able to get you to post in our forum thread for this podcast some of your models.
Some pics.
Yeah, sure.
You bet. I mean,
we could probably do that.
You bet. It's nice now having a studio.
They're on Facebook. We could literally copy the image.
Before painting for people, I kind of had to unpack my stuff, paint. And pack it up, and I was doing that every night.
Yeah.
And man, it's nice to just be able to go down. My airbrush is ready, my paints are ready, my tools are going to be available. I still need to get some shelving, which Lance is helping me out with that right now, which is sweet.
So how many free models do I get for those shelving?
One.
All right, my conquest then.
It is a gobber. I'm going to give you an extra gobber that I
have. Oh, you son of a bitch. I wanted that recorded and like on record somewhere, but that's fine.
I see how it is.
Yeah.
Guys are shit.
Lance is always looking for the angle.
Hey,
that's right.
We're helping you. You scratch your back, you scratch ours. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it on Facebook. Let's get his popularity up here a little bit. Get people in contact with
more
him.
More than Kesha.
Way more than Kesha.
That's the goal.
I mean,
always more than Kesha.
I mean, in like 10 years, Kesha's gonna fall off the map, so we're all gonna be higher than her. Probably less than that. I'm gonna go 2 years. I'm gonna go 1 year.
About a month.
I'm gonna go.
About a month. Should be dead.
I'm gonna go 5 days.
5 days. She's gonna somehow just yeah.
God, she's so gross.
And I'm not above it.
Oh, we know, Colin.
Next segment?
I might actually be above it.
No, I appreciate
fantastic.
It.
We appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Yep.
So, luckily, he's here to lend some more Crick's insight with Fox here, and we'll help out with some
very
material.
Lucky that our next segment happens to be Metabenders, P. Denny edition.
Yeah, no one's getting my insight. I'm not inputting any of my insight.
Fox is playing all of his cards close to the chest on this one.
Yep. She's not a Metabender, so, like, this is just a bad segment.
Yeah, nobody plays her.
Nobody ever uses her, so, you know.
Yeah, you never see her. She's...
So, actually, I thought it was
really
kinda...
weak feet.
Yeah, it's one of the worst.
Garbage.
What? I don't want to talk about this. It's just going to make me sad.
Why is it
P. Denny? He played P. Denny at a tournament recently.
She's bonkers.
Did you get
felt like a giant douche?
Yeah.
Did you get
every single round?
Yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to punch my own self in the dick.
And you feel like even more of a douche when they can't remove upkeeps, and you're just like, oh man.
Yeah.
That guy goofed.
Oh no, those speed two warders.
Yeah. I've had IFP with crippling grass and then feet. Just been like. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're not going to do anything.
1 inch. 1 inch.
Doesn't Troll have like a disbinding?
Yes. A lot of stuff they have. They have to spend option. A point to attach it to like a unit and it can only like remove from that unit or something.
But isn't there a little sorcerer?
Yeah, a little
that's what that is.
Clients
oh, is that
to,
an attachment?
No, it's a client.
Oh.
Sort of like how the Bokor is a client.
Gotcha.
What's the FA on that, though?
I think two.
That's pretty good, though. I mean, yeah, that's good that two. They have that as an option.
Because they didn't for a long time.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Throgs, dog.
They had the Throg.
So,
who in horse takes
if we need to talk about what makes Piudeni so strong, there's a problem in the meta. Because everybody should just know how strong she is.
Yeah, she is. She covers everything. She can reduce any stat. She can reduce it.
Turns out minus
times.
Four to all of your defensive stats.
Yeah,
that's pretty
and
good.
She's one of the only casters in the game with the combos and stuff to be able to reduce something's armor by 7, which is pretty ridiculous. She's stealthy, so you can typically get right in the middle of that board, pop your feet, and at times they can't get to that. Caster.
What?
Oh, he's including those turtley turtles.
Parasite, Dark Shroud.
He's including Dark Shroud, which is not part of Denegra.
Yeah, exactly. But
he's saying he has the option to drop it down to that with things that Kricks has available to them.
Yeah, which is very right.
No, it makes it incredibly relevant because people will generally bring those with that model for that exact reason.
Usually you don't see Panthrals with Denegra.
I mean, you used to a lot. Like it's not uncommon. It's just recently
I'm happy
the guns.
When I do.
Yeah.
It's just recently the guns have kind of been the way to play Piudeni.
It's not recently, it's been the way for like 3 years.
I mean guns are the way to fight Kricks for sure.
No, Denegra.
No. I get with and Denegra using feeds. Guns.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Like using Nis or using Boomhowlers or whatever.
See, I like running the unit of Bane Thralls though in the back just to get there for later,
or to
run just to run one model up to give Dark Shroud out.
Yeah, with those Colossals, actually, it's kind of one like min unit for kind of a running minus two armor. It's kind of interesting. But so this caster, if you don't know, her feat just gives minus two to everything in her control area: minus two speed, minus two strength, minus two mat, minus two defense,
minus two
armor,
focus,
minus two focus. I forgot about that the other day.
Everybody
that came up.
It does not get command.
Okay.
In Mark One, she could like you could like reduce something to command of one.
Yeah. And then she also has like her spell list just adds to that feat with Crippling Grasp, which is minus two speed. Minus two defense and armor.
Mm-hmm.
And cannot...
Speed, strength,
cannot make
arm,
special attacks, which
or
is
run.
Really
or
important.
Run. And her feat also says run, too.
Because
and I actually think that's, like, one of the strongest
That's actually
parts
the dumbest... Like, so, like, if minus two to your stat line, we're not already,
enough.
Like, top five feats in the game.
Yeah.
It may be
it's
top
like, oh, P.S.,
two.
You can't run or make special attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the special attacks can throw people off, too, because, you know, like Winter Guard, their sprays are special attacks. The Outriders, their sprays are special attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grey Lords, you know. As
I mean,
you
it's mainly,
tell,
it's
right.
mainly
right.
the running
you know
thing.
Yeah.
It's mainly the running thing.
I've,
like
had
the
opponents,
extra,
like, I've had opponents.
Yeah. Carry on top.
Yeah, I've had opponents that, are, like, tried to run, and I'm like, oh, what?
Like, I'm speed freaking 3. I can't move 6 inches. Are you.
No, sorry, you can't run.
Like I've
they're like okay, I guess I just sit here and
I move forward a little bit and
flap around.
Then
and
I guess
breeze.
You can do whatever you want.
So other spells she has that are notable are
every single one of them.
Everyone, but kind of influence.
No, it's every single one. Of them.
Influence is situational.
It's very situational.
Situationally, it can be pretty good.
Actually, influence with that feat. If she feats on something that influences. That model, is it still affected by the feat?
Yeah.
It is?
It
okay.
is.
I thought it was... I think that makes it a friendly model and therefore isn't. But it was
it
isn't a pulse,
back,
isn't it?
Though. It's a pulse.
It's a pulse.
It does not make it a friendly model.
Okay. So then, it would be affected.
Yep. She also has Parasite, which is minus 3 armor. So she has 2 armor debuffs in
exactly.
her spell list.
Well, and you know, Ghost Walk's like one of my favorite spells. I think
Same.
It's one. I think it's one of the most powerful spells in the game because
it
just gets you out of every situation. You're like, oh, terrain. Nah, I don't care.
So possibly
I'm all
be
tied
jammed,
up. I don't
like,
care.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, and you can do it on more than one unit or mod.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's.
I'd be fine with them having us both. I didn't know the Scarlock.
Yeah, the Scarlock's money.
Yeah.
Just
Just saying.
Yeah. So if Scarlock was at least a character, so that way they had to make a choice.
No, because then it's just like Lich 2 who doesn't take a Scarlock, and then you still have the exact same problem.
True.
It needs to be like the Rune Bearer. So they get it once per game.
The
like
Scarlock is money. So Scourge, that's great for assassination or knocking down a
high
defense.
It's just an AoE 3 that just knocks down everything under the AoE.
Yep.
So if she ends within, if she ever gets within 4 inches of your caster, you're just dead.
Or an Arcanode.
Yeah, or an
Arcanode. Or an Arcanode, yeah.
And then Venom's fantastic when you can reduce stats by 4.
You
know, I know that unit. I need that dead.
It's also really good against Forge Guard.
Or shield wall units.
Sure. But
God, that's the most fun.
It's kind of fun.
Years back, I was playing Ghidorah and somebody influenced my Great Bears to kill all my Great Bears. I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
It was pretty good.
They are very good at killing one another.
Yeah. They are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it actually caught me off. The other day, I was watching Fox play a game, and he was playing P. Denny against Old Witch, and I was thinking about how Fox could maybe go for an assassination when the game wasn't looking that great. And I was like, well, like he could charge forward, like charge one of his own models, like have the Scarlock cast Ghost Walk on Denegro so that way she could actually go through a wall. And then just, like, feet and then Venom, like, 2 boosted Venoms and try and kill her. And at the time, I was like, well, I think Venom costs 3. Fox, how much does Venom cost? He's like, 2. I'm like, what?
Yes.
This is just, like, a 100% assassination.
This spell would be so bad.
Who's playing Old Witch?
Nigel.
Oh, nice. Oh.
And he was camping 0.
Yeah?
Did you get him?
No,
I didn't see the assassination.
Yeah. I was actually looking at the Scourge assassination, which is the one I always consider first.
Yeah.
Super good.
She is a super strong metabender right now, and I think she's very underplayed.
And I rarely see her in tournaments. When I used to play Ghidorah, I actually worried about her the most, and I never played against her in a tournament.
Actually, like,
I see her in like half of the Chrysalis I play against.
I do anymore, yeah.
Sure.
I haven't. Like, I haven't, and I play, like, Scorn. I feel like she should be, like, an automatic drop against Scorn.
She is one of those. They have, it's dealer's choice for them against Scorn. Like, because Denegra covers a lot, like, of wider matchups.
Yeah.
And their other list is probably pretty solid against Scorn anyway.
Krix is pretty good against Scorn.
Krix has no options against Scorn.
Yeah, that's exactly the opposite of what I just the way Scorn's traditionally played. Yes. Yeah, it's fine. I will say that.
But I will say P. Denny is one of those casters. There's a good handful of them in the game where kind of is just a little bit unfun for the opponent most of the time.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of like when you're playing Epic Haley.
You mean all the time?
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, there's a few casters like that. Like you said, Epic Haley. P. Haley has been known to be like that. Like, It kind of stinks for those players that play these casters.
Yes.
Because they can't get practice with them because they're like, well, we want our opponents to have fun.
Yeah.
So, like, I always feel really bad when Fox pulls out, like, P. Denegra.
Yeah.
Because, like, his opponents either don't have fun or Fox just does, like, something kind of like, I just want this game to get over with.
Yeah.
So that way my opponent doesn't have to suffer anymore.
Yeah, when I first switched to Krix, it was getting to me because so many people were just constantly griping at me throughout the game, and I'm just going, this really sucks.
Like, yeah.
You know?
It might just be something where people just need to get used to it.
I think a lot of people are. Like, I think people have figured out how to at least put up a fight against Krix and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that specifically with Pete and Negra.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. How do we combat what she does?
So the plan on it, the plan is, step one, how many Arcanodes are there? Step two, which ones are the spray Arcanodes? Step three, kill Arcanodes. Targeting sprays first, if not an option, target the other. Kill literally every single one of them as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Right. Because outside of her feet turn, she is no longer... She's rarely safe to affect the game without Arcanodes on the table.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I agree.
That's absolutely true.
Because her defensive stats are 16, 14.
And, like, 15 wounds?
She avoids free strike.
She has more than 15.
So that can throw people off sometimes.
She has parry.
I can't remember.
I doubt she has that many more than 15.
It's not that. It's, like, 2 more, I think.
Another thing.
She has 16.
Okay.
Another thing to do is have something that can remove upkeeps. You're still affected by Crippling Grasp when she throws it on you and attacks you that turn, but at least you can get rid of it and make her spend the focus again, and there's a chance she'd miss.
So if you are able to remove her arc nodes...
That is by far
about the same time she feats, or the turn like after she feats, you're actually in a pretty good standpoint because she usually has to start backing off at that point.
Yep.
And then you no longer have to worry about like your stuff getting debuffed anymore. Because if she's 8 inches from your front unit casting like debuffs, then she's like 12 inches from the next unit and is pretty low
risky.
On focus.
Right.
Yep.
So
she wants to use all of her focus for the most part.
That's the game plan. Killing Krixx Arknos, as we know, unless you're Menoth, is not something that's pretty easy to do.
Nope.
Or Peace Orsha, I guess, or you know, something like that, or Legion.
Yeah, I try to hide him behind walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then just run them out when they're needed and knowing that they're probably going to blow up the next turn.
And then on feet turn, I mean, they're fairly safe, depending, just because the opponent's stats are reduced.
And
but
def 15, and guns, you guys are probably mat 3 or something.
Guns are great because... You know, at least Crippling Grasp doesn't affect Rat.
Right.
So, feet turn, it's -2. But you can make up for that, usually, with your gun lines.
Yeah. If you're playing some kind of, like, melee force, like, it actually kind of stinks because those Arknodes can run out there. She can Crippling Grasp whatever's in front of that Arknode. Yeah. And then it's just like, well, that Arknode's now safe.
If your list doesn't have ranged components and you're playing against the Negra, you're probably lost.
Really, Krixx in general will take a melee opponent. Every time. That's fine with me, you know?
I mean, specifically with, like, her.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, like, there could be some melee slugs, like, you know, like Scar or something, or Scar 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So if we think about her usual list build we see nowadays, like, what I normally see are, like, Boomhowlers and Nists are really popular.
Yep, I've run that several times.
Pirates. Keith's pirate boat.
Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore.
It's been a while since.
I don't know why he doesn't.
Boat.
He doesn't. Here's why he doesn't do it anymore. They changed Rock Bottom's rule on like coining, and he's just like a scoop.
In what way to make it worse?
You used to be able to coin a unit of pirates with multiple coins.
Sure.
And when Damiano came out, they changed it so that one unit can only be affected by one of the coins.
Oh.
A turn. So he can no longer like tough money shot and tough.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So he has to elect between the two. Got and it. So instead of, like, testing it, he just scooped out, I think.
Oh. Yeah.
And then you probably, like, other things you might see in our list are probably, like, a min unit of Mechanithralls, then with two Necrosurgeons, so that way they collect corpses from those Nis Hunters and
Boomhellers.
And then game recursion.
2 to 3 Arknodes.
Because under Parasite, those things can actually do something.
I don't know if I've ever seen 3 Arknodes.
I've run... I used to run 3 Arknodes with her all
the
time.
There is a lot of value.
Keith would give me so much crap. But
there is a lot of value in having a third one because it's really easy. It can be easy for someone to kill 2.
Yeah.
And like the third one can actually just be...
Third one hangs out behind a building with a Scarlock by him and a Warwitch Siren. He's waiting for the...
Yeah, and then you're just like, Ghostwalk, run.
Free focus, boom. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you're just like, oh, God. Like, Denegra gets to stay in the game forever now.
Yep. Yeah.
So...
And then there's, like, you mentioned the Warwitch. Or wait, the Siren,
Warwitch Siren, yep.
That's not,
I mean,
like...
That's pretty common because she wants to spend her focus. She doesn't want to have to allocate it.
Wither Shadow, I'd say, or if they can squeeze in those 5 points, are pretty common with her, too, to make sure you get those crucial spells
off. Strings and then... Yeah.
And free
so, when you're playing against this kind of list, you need to recognize those models you have to take out quick. So, like, obviously, when you're playing against the Nis Hunters, you want to target Selena. If you can get to her, then you can kind of...
Or Drift a Blast or something.
Yep. Actually, like...
Kill those Necrosurgeons. Good luck.
that's a little tough.
Well, if you can kill the Stitch Thralls before you kill the Mechanithralls, do that, too, because that'll help him. Mm. They can't get corpse tokens if those Stitch Thralls are gone.
Yeah, because those Stitch Thralls can collect out of command... And simultaneous with blast damage.
Also, plan number... Yes. How many steps... Whatever. This is priority number one. Is if your opponent ever gives you a turn, like, literally every turn you play against the Negra one, look for an opportunity, and this should be really obvious, but a lot of times people, like, overlook it, and I had to start making myself consciously aware to check for it every single turn, because you will put a ton of resources into doing this in a turn, but the payoff is...
giant, and which is if it takes you to activate 50 points of your army to kill 3 points of Mechanithralls, it's worth it. And unless, by 3 points, I mean like, killing the entire unit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
True. Like, I have spent an entire unit, like, an entire, like, 30, 40 points of my army to just be like, I'm like, oh, God, there's one left. And I'm like, no, no, no. And I'm just like, like, random,
this
like,
drift here.
It was like, go. Random dude with, like, a Rat 4 gun. Just like, go, kaboosh, got him, yes.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, yeah, because if you don't, then he gets to bring back 6.
Well, it's not just that. If you take out the Mechanithral unit, you take out... So, it's like just trying... The strategy I go by is trying to eliminate her endgame. Mm-hmm. So, killing Arknodes takes Denegra out of the late game. And then...
Withering, you know, getting through that feat. There's no more Arknodes. I mean, if you can get
and
through
then
that,
you're
looking good.
If you're somehow able to kill Mechanithralls early enough, it just completely neuters her late game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I go for Testicle 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. There you
testicle
go.
Testicle 1
Arc Nodes and Mechanithralls. Because then she, like, doesn't have...
Then you just have to handle the front of the army and the feet.
Yep. I don't really have suggestions for the feet. Try to bring lube, I guess.
Try to make her pop feet defensively if you can.
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
Maybe,
that never happens.
Maybe
it does happen.
Do it so your caster doesn't get clipped by her feet.
Yeah. No, I never worry about that, obviously, because I...
Yeah, true. Okay.
Did I do it with E. Kruger against you one time at your house? We were playing, was that P. Denny, where I made you pop the feet defensively by shoving anything out of zones?
Yeah, I wanted to kill your druids.
Right.
I wanted to pop feet, get those druids, and then have the Nis Hunters kill the druids so I could actually start throwing spells at you.
Right.
Yep.
I made him do it in a turn he didn't want to. I think you can force that to happen depending on the scenario and whether you're going first or second.
So basically what you're saying is you pull the Jake Van Meter.
Right.
You force him to pop his feet first and then you get on his face.
Right. That's exactly what I called him. I was like, you were on my face, Jake Van Meter. Holy.
The meter special.
All I'm saying is it is extremely difficult for that to actually occur.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are somehow able to do it, congratulations, you're like way up.
Yeah.
But... It's fairly rare.
Okay.
I think.
I'm just saying I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah. Out of, like, 200 times.
I haven't played against P. Denny 200 times.
I have. I played
just, like, feet.
Arknode. Feet. Venom.
Remember to keep your mic close to your mouth.
It's okay. He got excited. He's talking about his woman.
Yeah. They heard Venom echoes in the background. That's fine.
Yeah.
Venom.
All right.
Yeah, but... Anyone else have pro tips? So it's
if you can see through Spell Legion players, you can threaten her all the time, which is nice.
Oh,
yeah, she's
set her on fire, and then I'll just roll it out.
It's kind of a good tactic. Stop telling people to like shoot casters to death in Legion. It's going to be a terrible time for me.
Wait,
or
Epic
with the Thrain and like Riflemen, they can shoot
the old 16 on 3 dice. Was it?
No, not just that. Just you know,
he doesn't want to see Epic Lilith.
Basically, I am a Night's Watchman, but instead of Winter is coming, it's Lilith is coming.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's sort of like Winter.
It's only a matter of time until I can't play Circle anymore.
We're due to have like Gunlines rule again. Next year.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I bet they're going to try to stay away from it.
If someone takes a little thing hardcore,
I think this
I'm
year's this year's scenario packet's pretty dang good. I like it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't think
as long as you don't go in a completely opposite direction, they can only just refine it more.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Stupid. All right. I think it might be time to move on to
the next
segment.
All right, so let's sum it up. Let's sum up the segment, the conclusions. If one of your lists has a way to bring up keeper removals, thumbs up. Lean towards that list, unless for some reason that's like a really bad matchup somehow, and then you probably didn't design your list well enough because she's a meta bender. Step 2, target Arknodes and try to get her defeated defensively, which is difficult to do, but if you can, sweet. And then eliminating the Mechanithral engine.
Recursion.
As soon as possible, either by killing like the Necrosurgeons or the Stitch-thralls,
or the entire unit.
You are somehow able to do that. Yeah.
Which is
I've only been
hard.
Able to do it like
it's very hard
twice
out of 200 times
in my like entire War Machine career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although with the new errata, it might become a little easier.
Actually, three times, but one of them was Raven, so that one doesn't really count. It was Knight Feet, go kill all the mechanicals.
Yeah. Seems like that worked.
Yeah, it was hella worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do want to emphasize, any veteran players out there that are playing a new person, if you're going to use P. Denny against him, be nice. Like,
yeah.
Give him a heads up.
Cast him, two Scourges a turn.
Yes. Like,
or like three Venoms or something.
Don't
or,
ruin the game for someone right off the bat.
Yeah, don't pop your feet.
Noob,
no, you can do that.
Noob smashing is not cool.
No, I'm new to this game, but let me get this straight. Crippling Grasp does what?
That's why, like, the past few times I've demoed a Battle Box, someone's like, I have the Kator Battle Box. And then I was just like, someone give me a Battle Box. And then they're just like, here's the Crix one. I'm like, do we have a different one? And they're just like, no.
Yeah, actually,
dang it.
Played a Battle Box game recently, and I took P. Denny, and I'm just like, you can go over here. And I pulled out P. Lich.
Yeah.
P. Lich is also pretty good, too.
He's extremely good in Battle Box games.
Yeah.
I have 14 focus. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just box someone.
Have six. Also, if you say, even if you asked your opponent, can I play one of these metabenders? They may not really know what they're getting into, right. Especially when they're a little less experienced.
Yeah, the real question you should ask is, can I bend you over a barrel and show you the 50 states?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a movie somewhere.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard it in the movie. No, I don't think so. There's now.
Colin does not believe that that is real. Just like Lance's house.
He needs to watch the end of Horrible Boss.
That movie actually sucked, but that after credit thing saved.
Well, I missed the after credit thing. I didn't know there was an after credit thing.
After credit.
I haven't seen it, so.
You need to watch it. All right,
you
really
can come
good.
Watch it.
I don't
again.
Really feel like watching
it's
it.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't feel like watching
horrible
it.
Horrible bosses, you mean.
Yeah.
Charlie Day was in it, so it's amazing.
That's not how that works.
Wait, that exactly movie didn't have Cameron Diaz.
No,
that was
no.
Bad Teacher. Never
yes.
mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Similar types of movies coming out at the same time.
Kind
of. What,
yeah.
Bad Teacher
kinda.
And Horrible Bosses?
Yeah. Similar concept in a way.
They're both bad, horrible synonyms.
At their jobs.
Teacher, boss.
Yeah.
Not
they were.
Oh my god, we should move on to the next
Audrey.
Segment.
All right, next segment. We are traveling to Tom Guantanamo Bay.
Woo! We're so excited to go to prison.
Alright, what's Tom Guan want to know?
So we want to know, what are some of the best assassins in War Machine?
Just through the list.
Lilith 2.
No!
Models?
Lilith 2! We got the winner!
Lilith 3. Lilith 1. Lilith 1, because she gives her boosted hit. That is legit.
Oh,
Lilith 1?
Yeah, Lilith 1.
All right, so let's start by faction. So Legion, go.
Can we not start with Legion?
You just started.
I don't care.
Let's go in the order that makes sense, which is the order it is in the books.
Fine, go.
Okay, so Signar, Kane,
Epic Kane.
Epic Kane, Siege.
I agree.
No, let's just leave it at Kane, too.
Yep.
We're going to go the best Siege? Ones in each faction.
I'm
best
pretty sure Siege's assassination is actually just better. Against War
I'd
Machine.
I'd much rather see Siege.
Then you get that one armor crack shot, and then all the other ones are at your main armor versus a slowly increasing barrage
and
of
if
shots.
You, yeah. And if you, on your Siege's
also
feet,
Rat 11.
If Siege's feet, you roll that damage and you roll double ones, there goes that.
It's pretty depressing. Just like double ones. Well, here's another one with another POW on top of it coming
at you. It's like Rat 11, ignore stealth.
All right.
Rat 8.
Next faction. Next faction.
Brian doesn't even want to have the discussion anymore.
Done.
It's Kane 2. Everybody shut up.
So Kane 2, Menoth. It's Krios 1, but that guy's...
Pop and drop.
Yeah, but that's pretty easy to like avoid.
Mitigate.
Sure.
Yeah, that 24-inch threat is pretty easy to... Stop.
I can't think of any super tricksy assassination casters that they
hire a claimer with all the fireballs.
Like a straight up.
You're just like, I got 80 focus. Yes, fireball.
Oh, no.
It's really just Krios 1. Yeah, all right. I mean, he's the best.
Because, like, they're technically assassin is what? What's her face?
The only issue is the like, pop and drop. The reason that I say it's easy to avoid is because Picross is so effing squishy that it has to be, like, far enough back so that he doesn't just get assassinated the turn before he pop and drop. Because he's, like, far enough up that he's just, like, threatening pop and drop, and then he just, like, falls over.
Can he got shot in the dick. Dwarves, the cloud dwarves?
No. No, thank God.
Yeah. No, they don't like other
They
races.
Thought about that.
And no, they can take dwarves.
It would be patently unfair.
They can take Forge Guard.
But they can't take Tack?
Yeah,
they
imagine. Tack. Imagine
That's
like,
weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Imagine, like, Harby with an invincible wall of clouds in front of her.
Clouds.
Yeah.
Clouds.
Cute little clouds.
they're just like, it's cool dwarf. And you're like, martyr the dwarf.
These clouds are
like,
quaint.
Oh, God, that's the worst. And then they're like, kill that dwarf again. And you're like, martyr the dwarf.
I'm tired.
I'm tired.
These clouds are crazy.
That'd be so dumb.
All right, yes, that is incredibly stupid.
All right.
Should not have it. Okay, so...
Kador.
Sorsha. P. Sorsha?
Yeah, it's...
Probably P.
Ocean's 18.
It's... it's
just that.
Yeah,
no
just
other.
That list. No other.
It's totally Karchev,
Epic
right?
Epic Sorsha's right behind it. Right behind her, though.
And I actually think it might be Karchev 2, or Karchev above Sorsha 2.
Karchev 2, you mean?
Toe and low. Toe and Blow. Is that the name of Nigel's list? Because it freaking should be.
No,
it's not.
I mean,
it is now.
Have you heard about this list?
Yes.
The Nigel drag list with the Grolar and Andre.
In the, like,
and Torch.
In the, like, Def 16 Karchev or whatever.
I'm telling you, Andre with Karchev's good.
I hear all you have to do is venom him twice to death.
Yeah.
Who, Karchev?
Yeah.
Karchev's base def is, like, 12, right?
I think so.
I think it's 12.
Yeah,
12, 19.
On top of Def 16 Karcha?
On top of the boosted Pal 13s from the unreleased model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Karcha.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
That's the best name for that list ever. Toe and Blow.
Well, I don't know what the Blow is. So.
All right. The Blow is Beast on Nine killing their. You're like towing it forward and then he's blowing their casters.
Yeah.
No, it's you're blowing them out.
Such a yeah.
The tone and blow them out.
So is it Retribution next?
Retribution.
What about Crick? We're just skipping Cricks.
Oh, Cricks.
Probably Denny 1.
She got a really solid assassination.
Denny 1.
Mm. Epic Lich is also pretty...
Lich 2 used to be...
Nah,
used to be
less
not after
now.
The errata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much.
God, it used to be. Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, like, Witch Coven can snipe you pretty far away, but you can see that coming.
The problem with Cricks is like they're... Their game plan is attrition or scenario, and then they can also just kill you.
They can, yeah. Usually if I get an assassination, it's like the game has just been dragging on forever, and I'm like, I finally got this weird window to finally get a high chance to take them out.
Yeah. So, like, you just whittle down their army until you get this opportunity.
Yeah, so there's not really any Crix that bother any, like, man.
Yeah, I don't go for assassination. Oh, I guess Mort Nebra. Tom Gwan's been doing that.
Oh, Mort Nebra, we forgot about her. We're in
That's
his
kind of a newer,
segment,
newer
we forgot
thing.
About...
Well, Mort Nebra, the ultimate assassin cast.
She's cool. She's surprisingly cool.
Yeah,
I
it's Mort Nebra.
A few times and...
Hashtag surprisingly Mort Nebra.
Yeah, there you go.
Top of two.
He's going to be really mad we didn't say that right away.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's going to be like,
I mean,
what are you guys doing?
Lance, it was intentional.
I know. It's funny how much he's going to be like, no, Mort Nebra, Mort Nebra, Mort Nebra. Finally said it. Oh, thank God.
Almost had
I was about to have a heart attack.
Almost had that Futurama Fry moment where we're like, the Tom Guantanamo Bay, who assassinates and Cricks? Wait.
Say all of the other casters before you say Mort Nebra.
I know we about the best one. Venithrax.
Your Shade one.
And then watch Tom Guantanamo's head explode.
Well, I mean, Gorshade, he gets to bring, like, all of those Banes into the field. Like,
right.
So he could just, like, charge up feet and then just bring
Banes.
I'm
switching my vote. I don't think it's Mort Nebra anymore. I think it's that guy.
I mean, Terminus does nothing but kill casters.
That's true.
So.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Switching from that.
All right, like, so Retribution.
It's
Gareth.
It's Ron.
Raven.
It's Ron, not close.
Yeah,
Raven
Ron's
has
amazing.
A, Raven has a second, but it's not a close second.
Yeah.
It's like
it's Ron's like got a lot of tools.
Yeah.
He is fantastic.
It's Ron,
yeah, and he's hard to hide from too. I mean, that's like
yeah.
What are you doing? Like move,
it's
pull.
Like, oh, you didn't bring a small base caster. Victory.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
unless you're
playing
Lesser Trolls.
I used to play
you're
Karchev.
Behind the wall. Force blast over. TK out. Pull.
I used to play Karchev against Josh Holt, And every time like he'd use Ron, like, I'm going to win one of these days, damn it. Nope, never worked. He'd always get
me. But your armor is so high and you have so many boxes.
He can just do it.
Oh. Dice off nine, boosh.
So what you're telling me is he'd pull you into POW 12 Weapon Masters?
If I had a, so. If I could redo it now, years later, maybe I could get that win.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all War Machine? No, that's the Mercs.
There's Convert. Mercs. There's let's not talk about Mercs and let's not talk about Convergence. They don't really have...
Yeah.
We should talk about the assassins that we, like, legitimately are afraid of instead of just like, oh, this person can play an assassin, but like, it's not very good.
You mean like a Mother's Backlash? Mother Directory's Backlash?
You mean like that crappy Earthbreaker assassination?
With every single like caster that's a dwarf?
The snipe?
Yeah, okay. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's not necessarily caster-driven. It's more
colossal-driven. Like, sure.
Okay.
I mean, that...
That's true.
That Ostrom assassination is pretty solid.
I have not once lost it, and I played against that list like four times.
Okay. Played against it twice.
It's not hard. You just hide behind the clouds, you dummy.
I don't have clouds.
Can you bring Tack?
And Scorn?
Well, Swamp Gobbers.
Can you bring Gobbers?
I have one cloud.
One big
enough.
Cloud.
That's, yeah, you just run the Gobbers turn one, and then they're far enough forward, and then you make clouds.
Then they die.
You got enough shield cards.
All right, we're done with Mercs.
Yeah. Before the game starts, set up all the terrain to help you out.
Yeah.
You just move things around. You mind if I do this for a second?
Yeah.
All right, now you can go.
I think it was set up like this before.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that every piece of terrain was on your side of the table.
Oh, didn't you see? SR made this new, like, there's, like, no kill box on my side of the table. They're going first. And
then everything else becomes deep water, and your Colossal falls in and dies.
Yeah, there's not, like, anyone in Convergence... Aurora,
it's supposed to be, but I don't think she has the options to make it work.
It's not.
That's really not as good as people thought.
It's not solid.
Really?
We talked about it.
Here's the problem with assassinations where your caster is the number one part of your assassination. If it goes wrong and you don't have a get out of jail free card, you auto lose the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? You said Aurora. I was thinking of the Mother Directrix.
The Clockwork Angel.
She's a living model. That's kind of like a.
So, like, Kane,
for example,
Kane's like one of the only ones where it's just like, I'm going to kill you with my caster. But if this goes really bad, I have this literal get-out-of-jail-free button that I can push.
Yeah, it's like, well, this is going poorly. I've got, was it 3 focus left?
Yeah.
3 focus? I'm out here.
Yeah. Yep.
I love Gate Crash so much.
Yeah.
But, like, when your caster doesn't have the get-out-of-jail-free button, you're just like, oh, hope this goes... I died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
might as well play it out and you can murder me easily.
I really, like, don't really consider those casters good assassins.
I'm going to skip back to Kador real quick, but would we say that Butcher 3 is a fantastic assassin?
I don't think. He has a good range.
Scares the hell out of me.
Pretty predictable.
I feel like he's the most oblivious assassin ever because he sort of just runs up there and he's just like, pull you in. Whatever I'm killing. And then
So, like, did I get everything that can possibly kill me? Sweet, then I'm just going
to
stand here.
Whoa, wait, what just happened? Just kill everything.
And then everybody, and then at that point, the caster goes, I'm going to go this way. And then they go running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A distance away from him to make it because he's slow enough to where he can't catch up with them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's very good at it when he can get there, but
maybe more kind of an attrition caster as opposed to
I mean, he's just more like, well, I need to swing this completely in the other direction. I'm losing on attrition, or it's kind of even. I'd rather tip the scale so that I'm winning. Let's just murder. Let's get this work done.
Yeah, gotcha.
And he generally uses his feet to do that.
So onto the Hordes factions. Scorn.
Really... It's Epic Makeda.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no way.
Nope, Tubby. It's Tubby with Feral, guys. We got it.
She was like, there's no way.
Makeda 2 with Rosa War, and there was no way.
No. In Circle, it's probably either
Grail.
Morvana 2 or Kruger 2. I'm not sure which. I mean, stop saying Grail.
Baldur 1.
I'm inclined to think Kruger.
G-Money.
Because of
Mosar.
TK.
The same reason as like Ron, because of like movement shenanigans to help pull people
actually,
and put them where you want them.
Yeah.
But Morvana has a respectable assassination that's like always on the table, but it's, you know, fairly easy to prevent.
People have been planning for it a lot now.
Well, I mean, it usually involves medium-based models charging your caster.
Right.
Gotcha.
That don't have reach.
Right.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the assassination I'm scared of is Thunder Spirit when Blaine Epic Gain.
Oh.
His spells are a thing.
Because it's two Thunder Spirits and you're dead.
Why don't you just camp?
That's not fun. This Epic Gain.
You just tried the feat and had the gate crash out. He's sitting on zero.
Wait, why don't you just, like, Arcane Shield your caster?
Yeah, that's always...
So then she has to purify, and then she can't Thunder Spirit you twice.
She doesn't have to purify.
All right, then it's still dice off, what, four? Something.
Yeah.
Arcane Shield.
You can blur yourself, so she has to purify.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Done. The issue, like, yeah.
Wait, is blur just ranged attack, or is it ranged magic? I don't actually remember. Okay. Yeah, just blur yourself. Yeah.
No, I've had this conversation.
Why don't you go outside and blur yourself? That sounded like some sort of insult.
Why don't you go to the bathroom and blur yourself?
Not in my house, goddammit.
This happened at
I'll be right back.
At the last Mayhem Cup, I played Epic Kane against Epic Morvana, and I didn't blur myself because I needed True Sight to kill.
Well, I hope not. It's in public.
Yeah. I figured I needed True Sight to kill the blood trackers up front because I didn't have like gun mages or anything to actually threaten them.
Yeah.
I needed them dead. So I like couldn't blur myself and
when I
like,
think about
I went
you,
back and I tried to play the distance game, but it just didn't matter. Like cause her threat range with those Gallows Groves. He just charges one of his own Gallows Groves and then feeds it back and
right.
That's just pretty like it's pretty bad. Yeah.
It's what, Morvana.
Yeah, it's probably Morvana or Kruger 2. Pretty sure it's Kruger 2, though.
I think it's also Kruger 2.
So, Trolls is probably Grim
1.
1 or 2. I don't know which one's better. Probably 1. Minus 3 def on a caster is pretty useful when you're going for an assassination.
Yeah. Oh, Kalandra, though.
Yeah.
Kalandra can get all sorts of dice going.
Yeah. But none of them are like...
Super
scary.
High percentage.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
also
yeah.
Makeda.
There's really only
Madrak. I keep picking people with the same first letter, and then I'm right. calling them from completely different faction.
So we should have gone about this a completely different way. There are only actually two warlocks in the entirety of Hordes that I actually am afraid of as legitimate assassination.
Morgul,
and it's
who's actually an assassin.
Epic Morgul, yeah.
Yeah, it was Morgul. You were right. It's Morgul and Epic Morgul.
The worst assassin.
Lord Carver.
Yeah. Bringer of most massive assassinations.
Yeah.
Esquire the Third.
Okay, the two casters you're most afraid of.
It's Makeda 2 and Lilith 2.
Okay.
So, like, if we think about the top 10 assassins in the game, it's like Kane 2.
Lilith 2?
It's probably like Kane 2, Lilith 2. This is not in the order necessarily. This is just like
I don't think Kane 2 is the best assassin.
Yeah, right. It's Kane 2, Makeda 2, Lil 2, Ron.
Peace Sorcerer.
Peace Sorcerer is actually pretty scary.
Krios 1. Is he in the top 10?
Yeah, he's got to be in the top 10.
Morten Ebro.
Sure. So that's 7. And not Denegra. We're missing some.
What about Epic Severian?
What are the ones that we said that we're missing? I already said Ron. Crits. Oh, Raven's probably in there, in the top 10.
Mornebra? Did you say
Mornebra? Yeah, we got her. Whatever. So those are... that's top 8.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Forums, how about you guys figure out our top 10?
Yeah. I mean, they're the casters that are so consistently good at assassinating people that you have to constantly be aware of it the entire game.
Yeah.
Until they have, like... nothing left.
Oh, yeah. P. Balder with the trees.
I'll kill you.
He just makes trees.
It should have been P. Balder. You run a feral guy next to the caster. You shoot it with a world watcher. And then you make a 3-inch force. And then Balder's like, whoop, gotcha. Smack, smack, smack.
Yep.
I've done that.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that good that good 12-inch assassination threat.
Actually,
legit.
Mosahar is actually kind of scary now with the Moonhounds and... Chris got me with that one pretty good, and I'm pretty terrified.
I don't know if that's just Mosar or like just any circle caster.
Well, it was the -2 arm spell that actually got him there.
So it could also be Cassius.
Cassius, unseen path. Get there. Chop, chop, chop.
Get some. Kagosh.
Yeah.
God.
So the majority of the casters that we've listed kill you from range.
The ones that don't are Morten Nebra and Makeda 2, which have such ridiculously long melee threat ranges that they basically are killing you from range.
It's also Epic pretty Scar unpredictable. Can get a Jack moving too, pretty good.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the ones that do it from melee, the reason why they get to do it from melee is because they're fairly unpredictable. Like, people say they can predict where Mullocarn's going to go, but they can't.
I actually had a pretty sweet assassination when I played against Nigel with three Gore Shade. He, like, didn't even see
it. Oh, that caster,
didn't see it either. I was just like, Bane, feet on one of the Banes. So Dark Shroud you, and then a bunch of Soul Hunters came in.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Are we missing a faction? Did we miss a faction?
No.
Assassinated
I mean, minions,
Hordes.
But no.
We did Hordes as kind of like a group.
Yeah. Hordes is a little too Makeda, too.
Rip on minions for a little bit. Get your brother mad.
What? No, there's... No one in Hordes is an assassin except those two cats. No one in Hordes is an extremely scary assassin except those two cats.
Maylock, freaking Gator Train, Deercaster.
Yeah, he'll take those nines all day.
Rerolls.
Every time.
Yep.
So
90% of the time,
since the vast majority of these casters typically kill you from, I don't really know what you wanted to do with this segment. It seems like it
can
really
they be stopped? The answer is, of course, yes. I mean, it's not like
it's you like how do you stop. Actually stop some of the top assassins? Like
it depends
well,
on what
they
do.
What I have found with Lilith too is since she usually has a bunch of beasts, is just get all sorts of infantry out there and hide your caster like a SOB and. You know,
like against Lilith too, like a huge game plan is to camp,
get behind cover.
Yeah, which like you
do
have
not
to be
let her see you, which is hard.
Yeah, that's extremely hard. So that's like buildings
and then force a bunch of infantry at her that can take care of some beasts if they get to them because they only have so many shots every turn, and they're not gonna. You know, if you bring a bunch of beasts or a bunch of jacks. Against her, she's just going to be like, "Oh, I'll just pop feet and kill you."
Yeah, on a caster, especially on a caster like that.
Same with the infantry.
Take that like infantry, and you push past. Yeah. Like if you push past the zone against Epic Lilith, and you force her to have to like actually play for scenario, you can really get ahead of the game.
True. I'm just like really concerned Lilith players are going to like start realizing to use their feet for like attrition on like.
Oh,
turn two or one, depending on if they went first or second.
Sure,
and they're just like. Feet, all your infantry is dead. Now let's play this game.
Yeah.
We're like, all those infantry are dead and that heavy is dead. And like, let's play this game. And then, like, she's still a very threatening assassination because Ravnica's have 19-inch threat ranges.
Yes.
Or there's speed 5, right?
There's speed 5.
I think they're 5.
Yeah.
5 so, and 14?
Yep. Which is still pretty scary. And, like.
How many shots? Are we looking at when she pops her feet to try to kill infantry? How many models is she going to remove?
It depends on the list. So, you know, if there is 3 Ravagors, that's 6 3-inch AoEs.
Yeah.
That cause fire.
Spread out the 3-inch AoEs. I mean,
and take a point of damage if you walk in this.
Yeah, true.
Like 6 of those in the middle of the table, just like
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
So. I don't know.
We're probably talking like...
No one's going to play her, though. She's bad.
She is bad. That's right. People should quit on Legion.
I hate all of you.
I'm going to have so many nightmares about her. Just like...
Like, wait, why are you having nightmares about her? Like, she's bad.
Yeah.
Are you afraid about playing, Pikaia?
Okay, so the number one thing in terms of, like, playing against these assassins is... Since the vast majority of them kill you from in a ranged sense, is unless it's Raven, opt to go second more often if one side of the like table has something you can hide behind that will be beneficial.
A building, a wall, something.
Right.
Yep.
And then just
like actually opt to go second. Because a lot of people in this game are just like, snap first, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, won the die roll. Going
I
first.
That. I do that a lot.
Sure.
And especially more so against these casters probably than like almost any others is making that critical decision of like, do I want to go second? Does one of these sides have a wall or a house? The other one does not.
Yeah.
If they both have walls, sure, go first. Like,
sure.
You know, whatever. And something to be aware of, because this is the lesson from Josh Holt, is
as the assassin player, he actually oftentimes would either elect to go second to give walls to people or elect to go first knowing that people would take the walls, because there's kind of a catch-22.
People don't know where your caster is
going to
be.
From the start of the game, I'm going to know exactly where you're going to put your caster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So it's something to be aware of. Like, I can't really give intimate details about like how you should play against these casters.
I mean, one of the better assassins and assassinate their caster.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors, and son.
Yeah, before they kill you.
They're definitely a lot of those types of games. one thing I'll say with P. Sorcha, though, she typically, I don't know how Nigel runs her with his solo list, but she's typically on zero focus. She has a super high defense, typically on zero focus, so if you could just knock her down or...
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that Nigel's
going... I know the
problem. Nigel's going to try to end the game on turn two.
Yep,
I gotcha. Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
But if you actually want to beat P. Sorcha, this is something that Nigel really wants the world to know.
Take Winter Argus's. Invest in Winter Argus's.
Take Borka 2.
Borka 2.
Mm. He really, that guy's immune to cold. He wants the world to know Peace Orcha can be beaten with Borka 2.
There we go. Done.
Public service announcement is done.
Yeah, thanks. Right. Thanks, Colin.
Right.
I mean, Nigel. I mean, Colin. Nolan.
Colin pretending to be Nigel. Yeah.
I mean, that was the exact opposite of what Nigel wants, but yeah.
Well, that was a lovely trip to Tom Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm playing trolls now. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you're worried
we
about...
We have to tech against Nigel.
If you're worried about Sorcha as an assassination, you're actually just worried about Nigel, which you probably shouldn't be, because he's probably not at your tournament, or is literally one player at your tournament. No one plays Sorcha except for him, and it makes me so sad.
I started getting back into her right before I quit Kador.
How was it?
It was sweet.
Was it hot?
It's cold.
It's very cold.
I was hoping that would have gone better when he said I was just starting to get back into her.
Yeah.
I see.
Just the tip.
Hoping for more.
Yeah.
I see.
Funny.
All right. Fox loves sexual.
He loves pervy jokes.
You know what else he loves?
It's right up
his
alley.
So we're going to change the topic now.
Colin, what else does Fox love?
Yeah, we've been at the bay way too long.
He likes magic and
pizza rolls. Tatina's pizza rolls.
Tatina's pizza rolls.
All right, next segment. What do you think the future of War Machine is?
I got it.
Floating cars, probably.
No, I was going to say, they're going to make. They're going to eventually leave Kane, go to outer space.
Oh
my god.
And then we'll have
Space Machine.
And then we'll have StarCraft Machine. Oh, wait.
Space Machine.
Star Machine.
Well, 40K.
Space Machine.
Space Machine.
Ooh.
We'll have War Machine 40K.
No, it'll be called 30K. War Machine 30K.
War Machine 30K.
War Machine in space. Yeah. What's War Machine 30K like? Well, if you played War Machine
space
40K,
wolves.
It's like 10K less than that.
I mean, space werewolves, because space wolves is probably like trademarked
a little
or
too
something.
Close.
You,
yeah.
Need
werewolves.
You need 100 dice.
There's like robo wolves. Oh my god.
Neck cricks.
Dave's cricks will finally be able to play in tournaments again.
That looks fairly close to our space cricks. Good on you, sir.
I shouldn't joke about that. That does make me sad that he can't use those anymore.
It makes all of us sad.
Not me. The guy's an
ass.
Yeah. And Dave was just like, yeah, I probably am.
I love you, Dave.
5 years is a long time.
I think by that time there will be an MK3 around that time. They'll announce an MK3.
I would actually think
4 to 5 years.
I would think it would be cool if the game, and this is because I want to see more variety of Warcasters played in the game.
Yeah,
me too. Than there currently are.
Oh, I agree.
And one way for them to actually easily implement that is, this was a tournament Tom Guan played in a while back, and it seems kind of lame now, but 5 years from now could actually be a cool thing, which is like Mark II casters. So it's like you can only play in this tournament with casters that have been released since Mark II for your faction.
Sure.
Cut out. Because then it brings up a lot of like dynamic and a bunch of cool casters you don't get to normally like see play. So
because they're often so hard countered by the Mark
I. Well, it's just the Mark I ones are better.
Yes.
Right. On average.
Right.
Yeah.
Like way better.
Sure.
Like
Yeah,
we get insanely it. Better.
Phenomenally better.
Yeah, we get it.
It's not even close.
Yeah. Like, way better.
Yeah, like Epic Morgul. Jesus,
right
guy.
I mean, that guy was broken as F.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love the like Mark One casters that were just like, holy crap, they did all these things. Oh my god. And then they like nerfed them, and some of them they like nerfed not enough, and then some of them they just like beat to a
into
bloody pulp, like.
Yeah.
Through the ground yeah. to China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unrecognizable.
Okay. Yeah, you're just like, yeah. what?
So if we do yeah. get a Mark III in like 5 years or something like that, and like Nick just brought up that whole like casters getting nerfed into the ground, who do you think's going to have the Switch? Who do you think is going to
make don't all think of the models that the game they are not selling will switch big time?
I don't think that's the correct way.
Hopefully.
P. Denny gets nerfed to crap and Venithrax becomes the top caster in Crypto.
Yeah, see yeah. that?
But I hope they don't do
that. I think
that.
It's what he's trying
what
to
I say. Hope, what I love about the game, it's fun to see these powerful models and powerful combos.
Yeah.
I would love for them to just kind of take the game as is and be like, okay, you know, what do we think's not that great? Like Assault Commandos? Okay, well, let's bump their mat up to 7. You know, let's actually make yeah. them Commandos instead of these guys that just miss all
Assault
the time.
Turtles.
Assault yeah. Turtles. You know, just like make everything just good. Just have fun with it. You know, maybe yeah. dial back a few things. I mean, I could see that. But I don't know. I mean, if they want to get more Jax into the game, have a better focus system for Jax. Make Jax cheaper all around. I wouldn't yeah. even care if they gave all Jax and like reach or like all beasts and Jax reach. It'd be kind of crazy, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
those are just some thoughts.
That Richard Garfield talk seems like it's extremely relevant to this conversation.
Huh.
So, like, have any of you watched it yet?
No.
It's actually like a freaking year and like a half old.
Huh.
Okay.
So, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Professor Lust posted something on the mom boards like 2 weeks ago, which is Richard Garfield giving a talk at, I think, like a University of Copenhagen or something.
Sure.
About game design and development in involving or in implementing luck and skill into games. And the definition he gave for luck is very broad scoped. It's just uncertainty of outcome.
Sure.
So
it could be anything from a dice roll to like Plinko, like shoots and ladders kind of situations.
Sure.
Or something like that. That's you can't tell how it's going to work, but there's a lot of different ways of
yep.
categorizing that.
And so there is in game development, at the beginning of the game you oftentimes want to have a fair amount of luck in the game, and skill. It depends on how you want to design your game. But if you have a game with high skill and low luck, you present the problem of, like, new players don't, like, have a lot of issue getting into the game.
Sure.
Because getting past that initial hurdle is very difficult in a low luck situation because you don't yep. have those random occurrences where something happens.
Right.
So one of the things that you see in games as they evolve and progress, and I'm talking about like a specific game, not games in general. So I'm like,
sure.
So like Magic the Gathering, if we pick that as a game and how it's evolved through time, you see the designers start to implement ways to reduce luck in the game as the game evolves. Because players who are playing that game at the start are like fine with like luck and stuff and skill, but once they start to master the game, they want their wins to be more about them winning on their own merit
sure.
than on skill. And that's true for the vast majority of people.
You mean instead of luck?
Or yeah. Sorry, did I say skill?
Skill.
Yeah. So on their skill
right.
rather than random occurrences.
Sure.
And so in most game design, you see them start to pull away bits of randomness or uncertainty in their game as the game gets older. So, I don't really know. So, I mean, that's true for Magic the Gathering because they you know, started adding things for competitive play like mulligans.
But they also took out certain cards that they thought were too powerful and made them unplayable, which War Machine hasn't done yet.
Sure.
And I hope they never do.
Okay.
They could do what I was sort of saying earlier.
Like different formats with where some casters
as an
are
option,
playable,
which is actually a very nice way to keep new players wanting to come into the game, because the longer this game progresses, the longer any tabletop miniature game progresses, the more models there are, the bigger the price tag,
yes,
the more
confusing it is for new players.
Not just confusing, but
rules bloat.
I can't think of the word, so I'm going to just describe it in a sentence. But the more difficult it is for that player to actually financially get into the game.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. If I'm starting a game and I'm just like, oh, the price tag's like $300. Like, that's not that bad for like this game that I'm probably going to play for 10 years. It's like, oh, God, did this cost $100 or like $1,000 to get into this game? Mm-hmm. You immediately turn off huge audience.
Definitely.
So...
But that's more like a full faction buy-in versus just buying armies
that's what
that
it's
they want to play.
Full faction buy-ins, talking like $2,000 retail.
I'm just saying that will only go up with time because they have to keep releasing new models.
But they don't have But people don't have to buy every model in the faction to play lists they want to play.
The problem is that a lot of new players don't realize they don't have they need to buy just a certain things and like build one 50-point list.
And I think they understand that. Or at least the person giving them the demo or helping them out into the game should be doing that. If it's, them just doing it on their own and researching online, going, this game looks amazing, these models look amazing, I'm going to buy everything in this one faction,
It's not just the initial cost, but like so the initial cost will probably go up with time, not just due to inflation and economy, but also because more models.
Right.
And in addition, like if I'm going to play the game, like... You know, someone's like, oh, you know, it's like $50, $100 to get into the game, but, you know, I spent like $2,000, whereas like, you know, 5 years from now, it might be like, you know, it's like $100, $150 to get into the game, but it costs like $5,000.
Right. Now, with that being said, though, it's a hobby.
Right.
And people spend money on hobbies. I mean, you want to talk about expensive hobbies, you go hunting. You know, you're going to be spending $20,000 in like two years to
Oh, what about golfing?
All I'm saying is that
let's all talk about golf. I'm kidding.
Right, Magic the Gathering ran into that problem.
Okay.
More so because their cards stopped. They didn't consistently keep their cards in print. Like they stopped running their cards
supply
in print. Whereas War Machine,
But at the same time, the models don't cost more because they're
more
powerful.
That's very
true. It's not like P. Denny is increased in price. You can buy P. Denny for the same price
you
could buy her 4 years ago. It's not like P. Denny
that's
is...
not because they're more powerful. It's because they're consistently in print.
Yeah.
Right.
If they were not consistently in print and they were more powerful, then supply and demand would come into effect, which is exactly what
that's
happened
why I don't
in Magic.
Think this is a good comparison because it's...
I see both sides. I mean, I can definitely understand where both of you are coming from.
Right.
I mean, personally, I am kind of leaning towards more like what Lance is saying. Like, you start up, and I mean, I kind of knew I was going to, that jack's $50. Okay, well, I have to get $50 up, and you just kind of keep working at
it.
You
really
build it over time.
Slow build. Like, nobody needs to do a full faction buy-in at the start, and if they do, they could do it from somebody else's, like, used one where they're trying to get rid of it for...
Yeah.
Yeah. However much money, you know.
Barter Town's like one of the best places for that. You can do a full-on army swap. I mean, obviously, that's not helping you to start an army, but I don't
unless
know.
You're trading away them 40K models.
Now, one great thing, though, about War Machine is that you can have, you know, let's say you have your two or three units, your five jacks, your five solos. The great thing is, for new players, just switch casters, and you can... play a totally different game, and then you get done, you spend $15-$20, get a new caster.
Play
and I mean, man,
game.
you could play that for months.
I just think someone fiscally responsible, and I'm not saying all players are, but players that are fiscally
responsible. I would
argue
majority of them are not.
Are not what?
Maybe
are not
fiscally
responsible.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm putting too much faith in new players, but I would think that you could have the conversation. And if I were getting someone new into the game and they looked at the price tag and their eyes went wide, like, holy crap, I can't get in this. I'm like, no, wait.
Yeah, you'd help
wait.
Them calm it down.
Let me calm you down here. I think you can make this work, and here's how. And explain to them what we were talking about here. I think you can show someone that this game is accessible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be surprised, or not surprised, I'm going to be interested to see what War Machine Tactics brings to people wanting to know more about this game versus just Tactics.
Yeah, see if they draw in video gamers to a miniature war game.
Yeah, I mean, because E3...
Be interesting.
There was a bunch of E3 reports that came out where people were just like, hey, this game is amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen this game? Like,
really?
What is this? What is this setting? What is this? Like, nobody knew what it was.
Yeah.
And they all of a sudden saw War Machine Tactics E3 and were super excited about...
Sweet.
Like, what are these robots? What are these guys fighting? It looks steampunky. That's awesome. Steampunk is hot right now.
Yeah. Let us know more about this game.
Yeah, I mean, really, and then tell us more about this game in this setting, and they're like, well, let me show you our website. This is privateerpress.com. We also make a miniatures game that has all of these models in it. Really? I've never played a miniature war game.
Yeah.
So you're going to see all these, these kind of, video gamers all of a sudden becoming
horrible.
Interesting.
Maybe.
There might just be a giant influx of noobs.
You mean better.
You're going to have all these COD kids playing.
Or guys like Fox.
You know what, though? I'll say
a tactics game is completely different than a COD game. You're going to get different players.
Any players, though, that have come into our community anyways that have been thinking they're top, like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to work everybody, I'm going to win right away. I took this list off the internet. They don't last long.
Yeah.
You know, they lose. They win a couple times, and they lose, and then they just
We'll be able to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah,
and
we'll
get the good players out of there. And I'm just going to be surprised that there's going to be I'm interested to see if there's going to be an influx of players first, and then whether or not we can get good players out of it. Where in 5 years from now, going back to the original topic, 5 years from now, we might be seeing people winning Iron Gauntlet and stuff like that said, I had no idea what this game was until I played War Machine Tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be actually really interesting. Like, I know that game looks really legit.
It's supposed to play a lot like the game.
And
it plays a lot like the tabletop.
What I love about it, and I think it speaks a lot to Privateer Press, is that they had a video game in place, and they were like, yeah, this is crap. We're scrapping.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Because that first one they released, I was like, yeah, I don't care about that. That doesn't really look all that great, you know?
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like,
I hope they do that. I hope they do that with a list builder.
Yeah.
Do what?
No, I agree.
Scrap it. This is crap. Start over.
But they better not make us rebuy our... You know, cards
I need
or anything.
A full
but...
So I mean, I really want to see the game progress to a point, and a lot of people will completely disagree with me. But I do want to see more variation in warcasters.
Sure.
So it makes the game a lot more dynamic.
Couple things they could do for that without breaking the game or anything is make character jacks for those, like, you know, make a Venithrax character jacks. That's pretty dang bonkers with him. That would help a little bit. Yeah. Or just come out with some solos or units that have good synergy with those casters. But, I mean, that's about the only thing they can really do.
I really like the idea of having multiple... Because they always come up with all these, like, derpy formats anyway. Like, Commander's Crucible.
True.
And so I would like to see tournaments like the one Tom Guan played in where it was just, like, Mark II casters only... Or, like, so you get, like, different formats with, like, different caster ranges.
Sure.
You can still take whatever models you want, but it's just, like, only casters from, like, this time until now.
Yeah. Well,
or this time.
I'd be curious to see who brought what.
Yeah.
Especially in, like, a 2 or 3 list format, when you're at a Mark 3. I mean, what would that third caster be? Holy crap.
That's what I was going to ask you guys, because I haven't played any of the tournaments that have your three casters. Like, that has to be kind of cool, because there's that third caster's usually probably not, like, a...
Oh, it's a huge skew, generally.
Yeah.
It's your normal matchups, and then just somebody bonkers, and maybe even in a tier or theme list of some sort, just to be crazy.
Mm. Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't actually necessarily, like, there may not need to be a Mark III. Like, the idea that I'm proposing, it could just be, like, casters released from, like, this year on.
Yeah.
Like, they could be, like, you know,
in these
books, because the casters are released in books, so they could say, like...
I'd much rather have a Mark III.
Why?
That Mark II, going to Mark II was so fun. That was so exciting.
Yeah.
It was like Christmas all over. You just buy a deck of cards and you're good to go.
What Mark III is going to be...
cool.
Mark III, I sense, if they do a Mark III, is going to be Mark II with just a few errata change and implementing all their errata, and then a few changes on stuff that they think is broken, but it's going to basically be two with just a mega errata. Why not just mega errata it versus Mark III-ing it?
God, I really wish...
Unless they're gonna fundamentally change the focus and fury mechanics somehow.
If they honestly are very upset
about... But I don't know how
they
would do that without breaking it balance-wise, I guess.
They could balance the game better. They could do it better.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's room for improvement. I think it's very well-balanced for the most part because that's a hard game to balance.
Yeah.
Super hard to balance.
Yeah, I'm impressed with what they've been able to do.
You come out with that 9-point, you know, Mark II, they switch it. You know, there's a jack that's 9 points. Well, unfortunately, that has to be the standard for all those 9-point jacks coming out after that. So they have to really be careful on their points, and some of them kind of get trapped into a, you know, the point cost issue. And I think they could make some really good improvements with Mark III and not really have to ruin the game by any means. Or
I might actually like to see them go back to a larger point scale,
which they talked about for the reach thing. So where people's units point or abilities are paid for.
Yeah, basically it fixes the problem where there's a unit where you're like, man, this unit feels like it should cost 7.5 points, but it costs 8, so I'm never going to take it. And then, like, this unit feels like it costs 10.5 points, but it's 10, so I'm always going to. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
Like, you look at a unit and you're just like,
right,
this is slightly overcosted, and this one's slightly undercosted, but if we had a bigger point scale, that problem wouldn't be as persistent in the game as it is.
They've tried to get us to play bigger scale.
Not point scale. I mean, like, going back to the points from Mark 1.
Sure.
So saying this model is 27
points.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. So you could fit a few extra things in there just by making it on a bigger scale. So you're building a 100-point army, but it's still technically 50.
Oh, I see.
So I have a question for you guys. Since we've talked a lot about, like, how the game will change from the actual game changing in terms of models, what about, like, actual competitive play changing? Because, like, we just saw at Lock and Load, there was, like, 250 players that wanted to get into the Masters.
Sure.
And only 128 got in.
Right.
So, like, what do we see in the future where, like, our tournaments are starting to become so big?
To alleviate that issue.
That's a really good point.
Running flights? The cons are almost going to have to be longer to run.
Do we think cons are actually going to turn into more 4-day cons? And
you know, it is not fun playing in like an 18-hour tournament. Those are terrible.
Not, yeah.
I don't think anybody has a good
unless you
time
are winning. Even then, you're still.
Yeah, even then.
You are strung out. You're
mentally
tired.
Exhausted.
Yeah. You don't really get many breaks.
Unless you're Josh Holt.
I think. Unless you're Josh Holt. Josh Holt's the man.
I think this will always be a problem in this game.
It seems like it, because you can't really be like, we'll just go to half-an-hour games.
You know? Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
It's
even if they cut, like, a half-an-hour off each game, that would be way too
one
much
way
to cut potential- off.
Yeah. To make it quicker is to just make them all single-limb, but that sucks.
Yeah.
Because single-limbing rounds makes things go way faster, because it's like, true, that game's done, you two play, go.
Yeah,
and then
you go to a tournament on a Saturday and you lose first round and be like, no.
Yeah, well, that's worth my time. Is
but
there any other events going on?
There will be other things to do. It's mostly like at cons.
True.
So it's really the limit to tournament size is really defined by how long this game takes to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like each round,
takes
such amount of time. And like one way to kind of fix it is running events overnight, but then. Like, those people who are playing overnight, then, like, congratulations, you qualified for Masters. It starts in 1 hour, and you're just
they can't. I don't think
like,
they
let me go get breakfast and take a crap and then fall asleep in round one.
And hopefully.
In hopefully that order.
Yeah, hopefully not fall asleep and take a crap and then eat breakfast. And one thing they can't.
Breakfast, fall asleep, crap my pants in the bed. Go to round one.
One thing they can't do either is reduce the turn time, the time on the turns anymore, because you know that 10-minute mark's just about right.
They could.
They could, but I think
they could start having everything going to like hardcore time.
That just so. One thing we had brought this up, or I talked to Aaron from Australia, kind of about like single limb tournaments, single limb tournaments being for like for War Machine Weekend, like that main War Machine Weekend qualifier is.
Sure.
Just single limb. It should just be single limb.
You mean the Invitational?
Invitational, yeah. Not Last Chance.
Yeah, wait.
Not Last Chance. Well, maybe Last Chance should be.
I'm going to say Last Chance definitely should be.
So right. Like,
how long that went last year?
Yeah, if you change a tournament like that Last Chance qualifier last year into a single limb tournament, you get more of an opportunity because they had those 8-man pods going.
Right. And if they maybe increase the space for those 8-man pods, those like those players that lost in round one still have something to go do.
Right.
Oh, true. Actually, I don't So here's why I don't think the actual Invitational should be single limb. It essentially is single limb.
Yeah.
Because when you lose, you're no longer making it to the finals.
Yeah.
But the reason it shouldn't be single limb is congratulations, you made it to the War Machine Weekend Invitational, which means you're going to be able to play against the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's single limb, you're just like, oh, I lost round one, and now I don't get to play against like any of these good players that travel from all over the United States and like maybe like Australia or UK, and now I can't play them anymore.
I mean,
except for like walking over, like hunting them down and being like, well, you want to play a game? Mm-hmm. Which can be pretty difficult to do on War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, no, it can be difficult. But like the reason why I see that being okay is because when they still get an experience of playing in the biggest tournament or in the, like with the best of the best, you know, you were in that tournament and, like, you know what you had to do to get there so basically your tournament is the tournament you qualified in. And then the actual playing in the qualifier is just like kind of a bonus. So, like, you kind of...
Yeah, because...
You get your
qualifying for Golf Masters. I played in a little crappy tournament and won it, and, like, oh, whatever. I don't want to play Masters. Like,
what?
Like, I don't... That's like going to, like, the NBA Finals, losing the first game, and then just saying, scoop.
Yeah, exactly. Like
oh, I don't want to play anymore.
No.
That's what the Heat did this year.
Nice.
Like,
Miami!
If you made it to the Invitational, would you want it to be single limb and just be like, oh, lost round one, and I don't like get to play in this Invitational anymore?
Single limb is fun because, I mean, it's just... I mean, you lose,
yeah,
you're done.
You could, every tournament is single limb if you want it to
There's
be.
There's no point
to
keep. I know what you're saying.
I think most people actually, especially, like, I know a lot of people that play at that high level, even though I know they want to play against those other high-level players.
Right.
But they can also, like, most of them are friends. So if they want to get games in with each other, they can do that.
Yeah, you got to think about the people that aren't consistently there.
Yeah. Traveling from overseas, playing JVP is a once in a year opportunity.
Anyway, thought of a good idea to actually fix the time issue constraint thing.
Okay.
I'm going to get a lot of flack from this, especially from Colin. But they could drastically change like the War Machine the way it is for like the qualifying trials before to get into like the Masters or something.
Okay.
And those could drop from 50-point tournaments to 35. That runs a lot quicker.
Flack.
It allows for a lot more players to get in.
Yeah.
Masters could still be 50 or whatever.
Okay.
Right. That way you have to be good.
Would you do three lists?
No,
I don't even really care.
I mean, three lists, takes the same amount of time as a
two-list.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, we brought it up before where you didn't feel like, and I think even you mentioned this, that you didn't feel like they were qualifying for Masters with the way that the Masters event actually is.
The proper way.
Like, they're not winning 50-point lists. They're winning 35-point lists to play in a 50-point tournament.
You're going
to
use those crazy merc combos you're talking about to win and then go play Circle in the Masters.
I don't love it, but they have to come up with ways to fix the time problem.
Sure, I understand.
And like, that's an easy way.
So what you're saying is Chad is going to quit War Machine?
No, he just needs to... If the game drastically changed the player... Like,
if the tournament keeps growing...
Have to accommodate for more people, which means they have to figure out how to make their time shorter. The easiest way is probably going to 35 and then keeping Masters tournaments at 50.
Which would be a bummer, because I like 50.
A lot, yeah, sure, because we're all used to it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I used to play 35 all the time, and then, you know, once I started going to the shop and we got our community going, I moved to 50. And
sure.
I mean, like, going back to 35, it's just kind
of,
it's...
And, like, a lot of people would rage about it for a long time, but that seems like their easiest way to allow more players into their qualifying.
But they still have table, they only still have a certain number of tables.
You can always get a bigger con.
That's what I'm, and why don't we not do that instead? That was my original point, was that two flights, get a bigger con, bigger room, get more judges, run two flights at the same time, so you're running the event at the same time as you would run 128 people, but you're running two versions of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if it grows enough, they can run three flights, four
flights.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they could keep the game at 50, nobody has to rage and quit because of the change, but it's just more constant.
You still have to go in your flight. You still have to go undefeated.
And if a game gets popular and you have to get a big con, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good trend for the community. To say that your Magic the Gathering tournament started as a small ballroom in a hotel room, and now you're taking up, you know, something like a giant arena or something like that, where you're putting all these tables up somewhere.
I know John, on the last Muse on Minis episode, he had mentioned that this year's Lock and Load felt like a real con.
Nice.
Because it was in a bigger space than just in a hotel.
It was a bigger, nice space. It, like, brought all different kinds of, like, things that Privateer Press had to, like, had, like, a bunch of, like, board games made by Privateer Press. So, like, you had a bunch of people playing board games. You had people playing Tactics. You had people, like, playing War... A ton of people playing War Machine.
Sure.
And then, like, the, like, health of the game was so good because there was so... Like, there was apparently this gigantic room that was just for casual play.
Right.
Mm, that's awesome.
You know, that's just how Lock and Load was last year minus the Tactics.
Well...
John's just saying the overall feel, though.
People weren't playing a lot of the board games last year. I mean, Level 7 was out, but they had High Command had just come out, so they were kind of demoing those. But people weren't in other rooms like playing them as much. It was mostly Iron Arena in that big main room, and then the tourneys upstairs, and that was about it.
I remember like 10 tables of board games in the Iron
Arena. They were like demo board games.
Yeah.
Were there 10 tables?
There were, like, at least five.
Like four or five, maybe.
I think it was more like five.
But I was excited to see that they were going to put it into a new venue. Yeah.
Apparently that venue was amazing. I can't wait to go next year.
A venue can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to probably go next year.
Got to convince the wife on that one.
I know. We'll work on it now. You got a year.
All right.
To convince her to get you to come out to Seattle.
All right. All right, well... Yeah.
War Machine's doomed in 5 years.
I disagree.
Jump ship now while you get
it. I absolutely disagree because...
Sell your models while they're worth something.
If the game gets...
Yeah, they're worth
if
something.
If the game starts to get bad, all they have to do is say MK3 and just
wait, they're going to release a third Mountain King?
But on boom.
Yeah.
That's when you know the game's doomed.
I guess this time he's Rat 4.
I definitely think for now, the War Machine is very healthy.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
So like right now,
where are the golden years?
We're just clearly speculating on things that might happen and probably might never happen.
I want them to make multiple formats badly.
I'm telling you. It's so easy to just.
I know they
could make it a steamroller situation.
It's really easy.
I'm getting Hacksaw.
Talk to Hacksaw.
I'm talking to him.
What's Hacksaw's real name?
Jim Andrew. Duggan. Andrew, yeah.
Okay.
Hack.
That's Jim Duggan.
Yeah. First name Hack, last name Saw.
Jim Duggan.
All right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to call this a podcast.
That sounds good to me.
Person calling.
I'm sick of listening to Crump. I mean,
that's fine.
I
know. Crump's like, that's understandable. I get that a lot.
Yeah, his voice.
Like, I'm sick of myself.
Sometimes my ears start
I'm
bleeding.
Whiny and nasally. So, for all you listeners, remember to go check out... Snow Fight Studios, not Flight Studios.
Not with an L. S-N-O-W-F-I-G-H-T
Snow
Fight Studios.
Yep. Think of a snowball fight.
Yeah, or a food fight, but with snow.
Good one,
good.
Yeah. That's going to be the tagline on this business card. Or it's like a food fight, but with snow.
Yeah.
Oh, dot, Fox.
Yeah, everyone's going to remember that, though.
Yeah.
Like, that should be your slogan.
You got to paint that on your wall.
Yes, but, I do.
You got to have Snowflake Studios with the big the snowflake, and then right underneath the bed.
Okay, this blew up way too fast.
Fox, you are now immortalized in a wall. Congratulations.
Yep. Good job, Fox. Remember, check out the Muse store. We have... Oh, what is the new product coming? Oh, we're still working on status effects. There we go. Status effects. We got it.
Yeah, really?
I want to say real quick. What's up? Those tokens are awesome. Everybody check out those tokens. Yeah. Nigel did a fantastic job. I can't get over how sweet those things are.
Do you have
your
Crix ones yet?
I don't yet, but I will. And I will paint them up, and they will look sweet.
Yes, yeah. You should pumpkin them up.
I think the
pumpkins
look great. Oh, yeah.
My God, put pumpkins on them somehow.
You should see the like Mark 1 and Mark 2 like Crix tokens. He was so frustrated with Crix. He just like had three different feet tokens.
Yeah.
One of which was dubbed the Skullnado.
It's a tornado of skulls. It was pretty weird.
Some people actually got those.
Yeah, because Nigel's just like, we'll just throw them in as bonuses.
Yep. Nice. So check out, we have status effects coming that are actually like dual-sided. So like one side will be fire, one side will be like corrosion, I think.
Okay.
And then they're going to be full color with like flames and stuff like that. It'll be
an acid.
An acid. And it'll just be
tripping
really,
balls,
really
man.
And actually the knockdown token actually looks like a guy being knocked down.
Nice.
But he'll get up again.
Rather than like three guys.
I want my knockdown token like to just say like Chumbawamba.
It was good.
I want my knockdown. Chumbawamba, dude.
It's hard to, like, I know Nigel said this. It was hard to get to show somebody that was knocked down because, like, sure, his first attempts were just like, oh, it's a guy just sitting there.
Yeah. It's like, it's a guy laying down on the ground.
Or he could be standing, depending on the token.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the caution.
He
should have signed.
No, like, yeah, that or
leg
the,
out like flying back.
Yeah. Or the Monopoly guy like tripping forward. That's what he should have done.
Nice.
Yep, so make sure
that'll
to
make you think you're going to go.
Do not advance to go.
What is it? Muson Store.
MusonStore.com.
Yep, and make sure.
Wait. Go to MusonStore.com. MusonStore.com. MusonStore.com.
Oh, my God.
Three times helps get to that. That's a
horrible car ad that's always on the radio. Here in Iowa.
What's Fat Asian's cell phone number? Let's get that out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's 555.
No, it's 515.
No. Stop talking.
867-5309.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, okay, it's out there
just
now.
Just give his number.
That's it.
All right.
And he goes by the name Jenny.
Oh, and for the listeners out there.
Yes.
Boosh. That's two jokes inside.
Yeah. No, yeah.
For the listeners out there, remember to ask yourself, what does the fox say?
Oh, my God.
Can we make
and that
bracelets?
Was, what does the fox say?
Yeah.
I
tried to serve that up to you.
I know. That's
an hour
why
and a half ago,
down.
And you're like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to honestly answer
you.
Thank you.
This is the worst sign out, but.
Yeah.
Man, I should tell the story.
Like
about
us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. This has been Colin.
Fox.
Brian.
Lance.
And Crump.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
I just hit the play button.
No, I just hit the play button.
No, I just hit the play
Your mom
button.
Just hit the play button.
You both
no, you
hit the play
you
button.
You hit the record button.
I hit play. Literally play.
Well, play.
What's it playing? It doesn't have anything
doesn't
to play.
Yeah, it'll play something off of the card. Are you yeah, hearing
I
anything
think I
use?
Hit play.
I think you hit record.
Fantastic.
Maybe I hit record.
Wasn't quite sure. So Game of Thrones.
You see the little red button, Colin?
Don't push the red button!
The shiny candy red button.
Oh
right, Snippy,
my
anybody?
God.
No.
Yeah.
Know.
So I
this show's disgusting.
What, Game of Thrones?
Yes. No, Red Snippy.
Yes.
Also, when I say yes, you're like yes.
Point the mic away.
Fox like
face.
Points towards me with his
That's
microphone.
Point,
says
with
yes.
Microphones.
This is like
say it, brother. Amen, brother.
Oh God.
I will spill this everywhere.
Freaking dog.
What?
Nothing.
Agreed.
What's wrong with my dog? Yeah.
It's just like
eat,
trying to eat
feet.
My toe.
Cooper.
Stop it. Oh, my God. My allergies. My eyes.
Are you allergic to dogs?
Yes.
Really?
Also allergic yes. to cats.
Yes. God, I wish I was allergic to cats.
Yes, two
I've
of them.
Built up an immunity to cats.
But sucker. Yes.
Do you need like a Allegra or anything?
No, I'm fine.
You've okay. built up immunity to cats. I'm really
Wait,
jealous,
did you just
actually.
Say, do I need liquor?
I built up
Allegra.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, okay.
Because
I'd take some liquor.
Just in case.
I have some
comes.
Liquor. We can do this podcast drunk if you want to.
Oh, my God. That'd be so...
Drunk as so.
Oh,
would
so,
be terrible.
Yeah. So the idea, yeah, I was talking to James Morehouse.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
sweet,
I was like, we should start a side series of Muse on Minis Miami.
Another one?
Yeah,
another
yeah, yeah, yeah.
spinoff?
Yeah.
Nightclub.
Except
Night
Los
Club,
Angeles. Except, so. No, it was going to be, I was just like, the idea will be we interview like a famous War Machine person every time, or, you know, like
sure.
have a podcast with a famous War Machine person,
sure.
and that's the series. And it releases maybe like, you know, one a month or something.
Sure.
And we call it like Late Night with Miami. And then he like texts back, and he just typed, I'll read what he texts back. He said, it should be, it was... Oh, God. Hold on.
What about Moons Over Miami?
He said Late Night with David Miamierton. Trying to go for Letterman. It didn't really work.
That
and then
doesn't
I,
work at all.
I said our name should be this. Fox, here you go. You can read it.
Just say it.
No, Fox, it's right there.
What?
Sort of top right, middle-ish.
Read it for the family.
For Miami. Late Night with David Miamierton.
No, the other that's him. I'm further down.
Jim Miami Fallon.
It's perfect.
Late Night with Jim Miami
oh,
Fallon.
Oh, snap.
Yes.
Boosh. Here.
Yep, that was our following conversation.
Wow.
He went, "Oh, snap."
Jim Miami.
Followed by boosh, and then he said, "That's happening."
That's sounds happening.
Like Late Night with Jim
Miami
Fallon.
Do we know a Jim?
No, wait.
I know several gyms, but none of them play War Machine.
That's
we should
okay.
Recruit
that's
them.
Okay. Benioff.
Well, no, James Gray. Okay. From the store, he plays Menoth.
Is technically Jim?
Is it James?
We need
it's
Jim.
Jim is short for James, though,
I know.
Right?
That's
no,
what
it's not. Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
It actually is.
Yeah, it is.
James.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
What? It's this is unbelievable. How does Colin not know this?
What
just
the
like
hell?
Just like freaking gum on the sidewalk.
That's like Jim
this
is James.
This is gum?
There's no way. That's like
yes.
two different names.
Yes,
like,
Colin.
Yeah, so same with
Charles and Chuck.
Also Dick and Richard.
Yep.
Figure that one out.
See,
who made
the
English
the
language?
Guy that names his kid Richard when his last name would be Smoker or something.
Oh, man.
You have a guy in high school, his name was Richard, and it was Hair, H-E-R.
We got to figure out how to pronounce that better.
Terrible.
Like,
what, Dick?
I was thinking Jim...
Wiener.
No, it's like, we need it to sound more like Jimmy and less ball. Like Miami. So it needs to be like...
Jim Miami Fallon.
Jim
Miami Fallon.
Yeah. Jimmy Amy Fallon.
Jimmy
Amy
Fallon.
Jimmy
Amy.
Yeah.
It's like Bienvenido a Miami. You say it.
Jimmy
Amy. Yeah.
Oh,
that would work. All right. So
yeah,
Game
fine.
Of Thrones. Back
yeah.
to your original
so,
pre-ramble topic.
I think it was like halfway through season, I want to say three.
Hmm?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording.
This is pre-ramble.
Yeah, we always have a section where we talk about just like
stupid okay. stuff,
random,
and we put it at the way end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just say whatever
yeah.
you want.
Just talk
don't
about
swear.
It.
He
well,
will.
You can swear, you just can't say. And
Yeah.
Say what you need to say.
I did. I don't know if you listened to the end of the last episode. I totally bleeped out your story about everything you guys were saying, and I put the beeps in, and it sounds amazing. You need to go back and listen to it.
Did you also cut to black when I said, I'll save you, Fox?
Yeah. I cut to black.
Damn
and then,
Lance.
And then, no, so the theme song Damn starts in about 15 minutes into the theme song. Record scratch finishes the episode. Record scratch back out.
Okay.
So he has a 15-minute fade to black, and then it comes back, and you actually get to call out the story.
As long as it wasn't a real fade to black.
15 minutes is a pretty long fade to black. No, I'm pretty sure people said, you said minutes.
I did it?
Yeah, for a second. Yeah, you said.
Second.
All right.
So it's
Damn it, that's worse.
Fade to black, then it starts the song, 15 seconds go, record scratch, new one, record scratch, back out. I don't do 15 minutes of the music at the end of the episode. That's
too much music. That's way too much.
People would want to murder themselves.
No, they just turn it off.
Yeah, more of that.
Which they're just like sitting there like, this is too much music. I can't turn it off. My God, why?
Well.
All right, so like halfway through season three, I think it was, or you know, sometime in season three through Game of Thrones, I just started getting really like sort of disconnected with the show, and I came to I came to the realization there weren't enough boobs. This is really what it was.
You
well,
might find
that's
a problem.
A lie.
You need to see way too many boobs.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, I guess not. I would figure your girlfriend could help you with that, but
yeah,
you know,
right?
We all know that's not going to happen.
Sad but true.
I don't know. Sounds like Nick has like mommy issues or something. He needs to use boobs all the time. So.
Nick, did you get married like last weekend or something we don't know about?
Fracking weird.
Nice correct. Still have to edit.
I'll just start saying I need to rewatch Battlestar Galactica season 1, 2, and then 4 episodes into 3.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, Game of Thrones. So yeah. Season 3.
So that way I can start saying frack a lot.
Sure. Yeah, just get a nice...
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So in Game of Thrones, I started getting really disconnected, and I came upon the realization that the reason I was getting disconnected in the show was that I wasn't attaching myself, like, emotionally investing in any characters anymore.
Yes.
Because George R. R. Martin seems to have this writing problem where anytime he writes a character in his books that the reader or the audience wants to invest in, because, you know, like, you know, they're a pretty well-written character, you know, it's
logical,
like,
in the storyline, it seems to make sense that they would prevail in the end.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And then
they get snuffed
literally
out.
Literally every single time that happens.
Snuff out.
I've talked with my friend about it quite a bit, and it started after season 3, and we were like, maybe this guy isn't a good writer, because he kind of reminds me of a GM that's running a campaign, and he starts to run out of an idea, and he's like, you know that NPC? Yeah, he's dead! Like, what? Oh my God, and it's really cool.
He got murdered! Yeah, and poison!
The first time he does it, you're like, oh wow, that was cool, that was really cool, you know, Fink is, that's pretty cool, Fink
like,
did. And then 2
and then
weeks
like
later,
the 17th
that guy's
time.
Dead! You're like, okay. Interesting, and fourth, fifth time,
So, but there are characters still currently.
There are a few,
yes.
Currently in the show, I mean, this isn't really spoilers if we tell people that they're still alive. They're just like, that person's still alive. This is bullcrap.
Or maybe they're upset that they don't. They were worried that they were going to, and it might take something away by watching the episode. But
so
whatever.
There are characters that I am happy are still alive in the show.
Yes,
sure.
So, like, I was talking actually with a coworker earlier, and he's just like, well, I like Jon Snow, and he's still alive. I'm like, yeah, sure, Jon Snow is fine, but he has been literally irrelevant to all of the story all 4 seasons he's been in. Because so far, it's been in the show is it's just like everything cool happens, and then there's like this wall side story in the north.
True.
Where, like, things are
hopefully he's building
progressing up, at literally a snail's pace.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, winter has been coming for 4 seasons.
Yes.
I don't care anymore.
Okay. I know what you mean. I do really like the way the 4th season ended. I like some of the things that they did. But I am totally with you, though. If there's about 2 more characters, if they die, I'm going to really have a hard time with that show. I'm going to be pissed.
Like, I don't actually... I have no investment in Jon Snow because currently in the show, he doesn't actually have anything to do with the actual game of getting the throne.
No, he's more protecting the whole board from getting murdered.
Then, Yeah.
Kind of like just wiping it out with.
But you see how, like, since it doesn't have, like, direct connection to the other story, that it's kind of like. It's kind of like this cool story, and then every once in a while they just like have a like flash side scene to
right.
like, here's what's happening over here.
Well, his story is the long game.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, yes, there's all these little individual despots, and some of them are varying levels of villainy, but everybody knows what the long game is. He's been setting it up since season one, since book one. Stuff is going to come over that wall, start murdering everybody, and everybody's going to have to go back
guys,
up in there and fight them.
The pizzas are coming, I swear.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's not happening right now, though I was surprised with the amount of special effects budget in that last episode. Holy crap, they blew everything on that episode.
You mean the second
Well, some of it was good, some of it was kind of bad.
No, this last episode. They had a whole fight in the woods. They had animated freaking skeletons. They had...
Now,
I love skeletons.
They were not well animated. Half the time they looked very animated.
They did.
But, I mean, it's...
But that's more than what they've been doing.
No, I hear you.
And to
no,
show
I
the dragons for the...
It felt
time
very...
The giants
very
were amazing.
Evil Daddy.
Oh my god, I love poorly animated skeletons.
I actually thought that they got, like, Sam Raimi to direct that
scene.
No,
I agree.
Because there's, like, skeleton arms popping out of, like, ice sheets and, like, grabbing people by the heels and, like,
you should grab, like Bran by the ears.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I mean, it all happens at the throne itself. Skeletons pop out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't have, like,
I guess
super...
I'm willing to put up with the idea of Jon Snow being somewhat bland because that's a story that he can't tell quickly without advancing the entire story plot.
The thing that's
going to
suck, though,
degree.
Is if he dies in the next couple seasons and we're like, oh, so we just watched it.
Oh, I mean, I actually wouldn't care.
And that's the issue with his writing. Cause
no, not because I have an investment in it, but because currently that plot is completely
not
separate
right
from
now.
The other plot.
Right.
No, so I'm just like, oh, it's Jon Snow's dead. Well, whatever.
They had to put a little hunky guy in there for chicks to watch the show, right?
Wiener,
or Nick.
Wiener, 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 wiener.
No, see,
floppy wiener.
Like,
boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop.
But yeah, the other characters that I have remotely invested in Arya, but she hasn't been doing anything since season.
Not true.
Like,
it's very slowly progressing. I just heard they're only going to do 7 seasons.
She's been
seasons.
Doing the Lord of the Rings thing, where she's literally just
she's been
walking
murdering
around
people this entire season.
She's just walking around countrysides, no, killing people occasionally.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that cool?
If Martin doesn't get his books done in time, HBO has said they're going to finish the story.
Yeah.
They'll finish it their own way.
Which, well, I, the article I read that Martin would like kind of tell him, like, well, this is kind of what I want to happen, and that it would do that. But
yeah,
pretty interesting, though.
They'll take long breaks in between the seasons as it gets closer to the books, which they kind of are now. They're getting pretty close to what he's written so far.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to be like, we're going to need to wait. Because HBO does this. HBO puts the seasons on whenever they damn well feel like it, and they'll do it based on, especially if it's based on something literature, they'll take time. They'll be like, well, I know there was a year wait for last time, but how about a year and a half for you guys this time?
Oh, that's going
to
suck.
How about 2 years this next time? And everybody's just like, oh my God, I will murder everybody.
Arya's
going
to be 40.
Right. Yeah, the kids are already way older than they should be in the books, but that's beside the point.
All I know is, all right. I don't know.
So
there's actually two characters, my two favorite characters in that entire show
are
in series are still alive, so that's good.
Who's that?
Who are they?
just don't say it. I could ruin a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
No?
It's just Baelish and Varys are still alive.
You like Baelish?
They are my two favorite characters.
What do you like Baelish
is that
for?
Littlefingers?
Yeah
Littlefinger.
He's a good villain. He's good.
He's a good character. He's a good character.
Those two are my favorite characters in the whole series.
Well, Nick looks up to him. He wants to have a whorehouse
someday.
Yeah.
That's the American dream.
Yep.
That's right.
He's told me before that.
That's misogynistic.
Hey. Whorehouse and cash.
Whorehouse.
Thanks, dream.
Thanks, Shallin.
Oh, hey, that just reminded me. They should get M. Night Shyamalan to finish the series. That would be sweet. He'll come up with an amazing plot twist.
So, Jon Snow was dead the whole time.
Yeah. He was actually a White Walker. So, I don't know. I still watch that show because it's so interesting, and my girlfriend's very invested in it.
Mm.
And
the
it's
actors
not,
are fantastic.
And it's not like 16 and pregnant, so
I appreciate that.
So...
Getting in good TV where you can.
No, HBO has that on.
Should never have MTV on in your house. So.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys don't like 16 and pregnant?
I got her. I'm going to get her started.
You guys are stupid.
I'm going to get her started watching The Wire.
And that'll be a good, like, that show had five seasons.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Something like that, I think.
The Americans, have you seen that? It's pretty good. My wife likes that. So.
I haven't watched it, but
it's good.
I've seen commercials on FX about it.
All right, so how are you tying this into War Machine?
Oh, yeah. So War Machine has the exact opposite problem. Where, like
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Literally the exact opposite. So all the characters that I want to die or characters that I want to, like, live, never, just no one dies.
You guys like Butcher? Like, here's the second one.
Yeah,
you guys like Butcher? Yeah, but do we have a new caster?
Just
here's
no one
the
dies.
Third one.
I want someone, like, in the fluff to get, like, in this bloody brawl, just basically, like, you know, like the Xerxes, like, Kaya Grail brawl. Where, like, Grail got beat to crap, Kai got beat to crap, Xerxes got beat to crap.
Only Xerxes got beat to crap. Isn't that what you said last week?
Yeah, it went like Xerxes got beat to crap, Grail killed, like, two of his own griffins, and then Kaya, I forgot she does this in the fluff and doesn't transfer to her beasts.
Because she tries to protect her beasts because she's their mother.
I forgot about that because it's stupid.
Boy, that'd be a horrible disadvantage on the card, wouldn't it?
You cannot transfer to your own beast. Well, what am I supposed to transfer to then?
Okay.
Just like Camp Zero, son!
Yeah.
He cast everything.
I can always use her fury. It's great.
So I want someone to get, like, beat the heck up in the fluff, and then, like, in the next book, everyone, like, thinks they're going to go epic. And then in the next fluff, Doug Seacat just is like, and they bled out.
Wait, what? So he's going to be fine, right? No, he's super dead.
Like,
and then they'll make it so you can't use, like, Butcher anymore in tournaments.
No, they just write off the character. You know, it's just like, that's fine. Like, characters going epic. Like, we're playing characters that don't exist in the game anymore.
Right.
Right, in their prime incarnations.
In their time, in the time frame that we're currently playing.
So their prime, like, are essentially dead. So, like, if I kill off a character, like, I can still play them in the game. It doesn't matter if they're alive in the fluff or not. Or, like,
this feels like a Rick and Morty episode.
Why?
They're like, gotta kill our old selves, Morty.
That was us in the past. Those people are dead. We're replacing them with now, Morty.
Basically, the only, like, War Machine fluff I find interesting are just, like, what are the retarded battle things that happen in this book? It's like, oh, a mammoth got pushed off a mountain and then crushed a wall.
Sweet.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but, like, those are the only entertaining things, because none of the, like, fights between casters actually hold any weight, because you're just like, well, they're not going to die.
Well, I like watching them introduce a new character and then watching them, and, like, okay, well, this character is super dead. Because he's going to end up running against somebody and probably get murdered.
There was a caster that died. And, like, I haven't read much fluff.
Sure.
But I read, like, there are casters that, like, don't exist, and, like, people, like,
they
hear about them.
They're like, here's this new character. He's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're like, there was this witch that Epic Haley went to go find, and she killed him.
Yeah.
End of story.
Oh, there you go. That's where they're getting their
You don't need a new caster. He's just dead.
Yeah. So they introduce a character, don't develop that character at all, and then kill them.
Mm-hmm. Right. But make you think that maybe they'll make a character out of them, and then they don't.
Be careful what you wish for, though, because it might be like a Transformers the movie, like the original cartoon movie where all the Autobots die, then a bunch of lame
ones
come
in.
That
was the first movie I saw as a kid where there was swear words.
Yeah. My favorite Transformer was Prowl, the cop, and he's the first one to die, and he dies in, like, a horrible way. Like, smoke comes out of his eyes. I was like, ah!
I'm a child and it scars me! That movie was so brutal.
Oh, so good.
So brutal.
All right, let's get this show on the road.
So Doug Seacat and George R. R. Martin should have a baby, and it will be the best writer
ever.
And
write.
And write.
War Machine.
No, just, that baby just a story. It doesn't matter what story it is. Just whatever.
But it'll be just the right amount of character killing.
Yes.
I think there's plenty of novels out there that have a lot of character killing.
It will be the right amount of character development, character survival, character killing.
I think there's a lot of novels that already do that. They don't have to have a baby.
Nope.
There's no writers in the world.
Get on it, T-Cat.
Get on, George R. R. Martin.
Nah, Lance,
make that baby.
You didn't have to say
that. You're expecting a baby to write?
That was right where you were going.
It was right where you were going.
You just said, get on that.
Get on that.
Doug Seacat.
After talking about
I meant
baby.
Get on progressing the War Machine story to where characters actually can die. So we have a world where, like, mortality is an issue.
It's not what you really meant.
Like, that's the problem with the War Machine. War Machine fluff has the same problem that Star Trek II Into Darkness fluff has, and it's they have created a world where no one can die.
All guns miss.
I think Nemo will eventually die.
Yeah, of old freaking age.
Right.
Actually, I don't. They'll probably just turn him into like a robot.
So what they should do is, I mean, he should just do like one faction at a time and just kill one person out of every faction. Just call the herd a little bit.
No, just dartboard.
You guys sure. Like Zerkova? Fine, she's dead.
You can dartboard it. Like,
now, that would actually
be tell me that wouldn't be amazing fluff. That you start reading faction fluff in a book that goes through every faction, and then they introduce everybody, and there's this giant battle of something going on, and then randomly one of those casters is going to die, and you don't know who it is until you get to the end of the fluff.
Awesome. Heart disease!
Right.
Somebody might have a reason to buy a book.
Just like...
brain cancer!
Tubby's... freaking, Tubby's just like, diabetes.
He got the diabetes.
He's on a horse.
Wilford Brimley.
I want to tell you about diabetes.
I want to tell you about some diabetes. Oh, my God. Remember a couple of used to do that all the time when Wilford Brimley would call him and leave him voicemail messages?
Who's that?
You don't remember? Colbert, never mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a guy pretending to be Wilford Brimley would call him and leave like voicemail messages for him.
Nice.
Just Wilford Brimley. Have I told you anything about my diabetes lately?
Diabetes.
Like, no, Wilford.
Great. Now I'm going to be modding my tubby so that way he's like putting insulin through his belly.
Yeah, he's got to have there glasses and a big walrus mustache.
Yep.
And then holding like a Quaker Oats bottle. Or
this is the only moment in Robot Chicken that's ever made me laugh is the episode where...
What? That show was amazing.
Nobody else likes Robot Chicken?
That's okay.
There was one part in an episode that made me laugh, and it was the Jetsons, and the robot goes, diabetes, beady, beadies. I just lost it.
Nice.
I can't believe you don't like that show. That's okay.
It's
the Star Wars ones are really good. The DC comic
super
ones
hit
are
miss
really
for me.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's actually mostly miss for me. I've extensively watched that.
It's so weird because your like humor is so random.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just not random. It's just Tim and Eric,
right?
It's just all random.
But you love Tim and Eric.
Which is Tim and Eric.
Right. Tim and Eric's great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're going to get a bunch of people enjoying everything you say about Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
Mostly these two.
Hey, yep. After this, you want to watch Top Gun?
Oh, my God.
I have it over there, probably.
Top Gun?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah,
Top Gun from the top.
Okay.
There's like a few Tim and Eric fans out there that are listening that are going to understand what you're saying. The rest of us are going to be just as lost as probably me and Colin are.
Dopest. Wasn't it the other podcast? I was sitting over here and I was just going, dopest be, dopest.
I want to meet that dad.
Dopest. Shrimp.
I could sing the whole Dirty Socks song, really. I
mean. Oh, my God. All right. So,
so we're start this joke off?
Yeah, yeah, we'll just,
Beaver Boys, Baron Aaron.
Let's go. Yeah, so just tell us, tell how your Keith thing ended and then he's going
to
launch into
it. Well, so I have to say he's on the podcast. Because otherwise people won't know the joke.
Oh, yeah.
Until afterwards.
So, hey, welcome, Brian.
Hey,
welcome, Brian Finkin, to the podcast. Give us, tell us about a game you played recently or something like that, and then you just go into it, and then he'll go.
Just do it. Okay. Do exactly what you just did.
Okay.
But cut all the shiz out.
Yeah, I will. I do that. Every time we set up the joke and it takes forever, I usually cut it out.
Don't do that, Lance.
Just leave the setup.
And just cut out the joke.
News on Minis. Uncut.
Director's cut, you mean?
Director's cut.
Rah.
We're gonna Kubrick the crap out of this. Are you gonna eat a lemon bar while you're telling the joke?
All I have to say is, what were you thinking?
But I don't want you to have your mouth full of lemon bar when you do
fine.
It.
Yeah,
what were you?
Who's saying what were you thinking?
I will.
He is.
Nick
he always says.
If Nick's eating,
I'm the David.
Doesn't have to
I'm
say
the
it.
David Caruso of this podcast.
CSI Miami.
I hate that you're proud of that.
Also, got you so good the other day on that, that Facebook
really
thread.
Actually.
It was Tim Simpson posted links to lyrics to
Squeeze Box by The Who.
Yeah. He posted some lyrics, and then Lance came in and posted some lyrics, and then I went in and just posted,
Nice.
Wrong Who song. God, Crump, you're the worst. Is the link right below, and then Tim Simpson's like.
Awesome.
All right, well, we'd like to welcome Brian Finkin to the podcast today. Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about a game you played recently?
So I decided to get Scavrus out. I haven't used him in quite some time, and just kind of wasn't really feeling motivated for the most part, but I just kind of threw together a list last game night. Got to the shop, and Keith was available, so I was like, hey, Keith, you want to play? And he said, sure. And as I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, kind of looking at my list, like, yes, this, yeah, whatever. We'll see how this list goes. Kind of, whatever. There's no real good synergy or anything. And I was like, hey, Keith, what list are you playing? He's like, Epic Morvana. And I got smoked. Wasn't even close.
No. What were you thinking?
I'll
cut out that awkward blank. I realized
you were going to say specifically what happened to kill you, but
that's
fine.
That's what I was also, I realized that I could have just, when he said, like, I played Scabrous, I could have just said it right then.
Yeah.
I like Scabrous.
You could.
Probably would have been more comedic.
Yeah. No, this is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
No one will laugh. It's fine.
What about the fake yeah?
Yeah, you were
I didn't feel like the joke happened.
I felt that it kind of didn't happen.
Do you want to do it again?
Colin, what were you thinking?
Comfortable doing it again? Would you rather do it again?
No, I can totally do it again.
Okay.
I mean, I figured I'll just say, so I played Keith, and he ended up using Epic Morvana.
Actually, when you say you're playing Scabrous, I'll just say, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
I just felt like Nick's delivery wasn't very good.
Right. No, I agree.
Like, what were you thinking? Like, you could do something better.
What were you thinking?
Make it goofy.
Oh, right. I forgot to say the hell.
What the hell were you thinking?
Make
sure you emphasize that. Yeah.
That makes like everything better. No,
what the hell were you thinking, boy?
No, don't say boy.
Yeah, don't say boy.
No,
that was
too far.
No. We're not.
Drop that.
Yeah.
You're not Flavor Flav.
Yeah, we're not saying boy.
You could just
boy.
You could
now you're do what
you could
do
just
do
say
us,
that
you?
Real quick, and then you could just edit.
Oh,
it.
I want this pre-ramble to be done.
So do I. Yeah. I want it to go on forever.
Yeah, we know.
So, Nick. Game of Thrones.
Love Game of Thrones. Let's keep talking about
no.
it.
No.
Thirdly, you guys.
G-O-T.
What are we doing?
I'm going to restart the joke.
No. Yeah.
We're going to just totally all right,
restart
over again.
All over again.
Now.
And now.
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 And now.
I'm done.
Right now.
Now.
They're done.
Now we're done. Anyways.